used to say, live and let live. But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry, say live and let die.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Attorneys suing Walmart on behalf of thousands of female employees are alleging that the company made false assertions in an effort to stop the class action lawsuit. In court filings on Wednesday, the attorneys say the world's largest retailer used a discredited survey that falsely claimed that there was no difference in pay between 90% of their male and female employees. The attorneys say that an analysis of company payroll records shows women on average earned at least 5% less than men across the board. Oral arguments are set to begin early next year.
Workers at 14 hotels in Washington, D.C. are looking to the presidential inauguration to reignite stalled contract negotiations.
The workers there have been working without a contract for more than 3 months.
Amanda Cooper is the press secretary for Unite Here, representing 3,800 hotel workers in Washington, D.C.
The guest experience is completely dependent on the work of our members. And, you know, the administration wants to show their guests a good time. However, it's a challenge for our members to get excited about serving the guests when management showed them so little respect in the form of a really substandard contract.
Cooper says the hotel's offer lacks what she terms respect and dignity issues, like having a Spanish translator present when workers are being disciplined or providing employees with proper safety equipment. Unite Here is ready to disrupt the inauguration if health care and pension issues aren't resolved by late January.
The action is at this point undetermined, but it could be really anything that you would usually consider a tactic of a labor struggle like this, up to including a strike and up to and including things, you know, that might be new tactics that we haven't previously seen under these kinds of circumstances.
Indiana University has developed a comprehensive labor organizing software it says will revolutionize how data is managed in union organizing campaigns. The program was developed with help from more than 300 labor organizers. Before the system was developed, union organizers used single sets of data confined to single employers. That limited the ability of organizers to efficiently manage comprehensive campaigns. But with T1, information on multiple employers, workers, locations, and even complete industries can be fully integrated. Indiana University says it's a major tool that will multiply the effectiveness of union organizers.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Black men with the same skills as white men are only half as likely to attain management positions. That's according to a new study by Brush College's School of Public Affairs. Black women, the study says, are only a third as likely to obtain those same management positions. The study finds that the glass ceiling phenomenon, usually associated primarily with women trying to obtain equality in the workplace, has now begun to apply to minorities.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
No, not the yacht.
Darling, wake up. You're having a nightmare.
Oh, it was terrible. Oh. I dreamed we lost our billions, and we were middle class.
There.
We were both working, and we could barely pay our bills. The children had to go to public schools. Oh. We had something called an HMO.
Oh, you poor thing.
It seems so real. We couldn't even afford my Botox.
Oh, sweetheart, go back to sleep. I'll write another campaign check tomorrow.
President George W. Bush, keeping alive the American dream. For some of us.
Easily paid for by BillionairesForBush.com.
Have you been chipped yet? You could be soon, for the Food and Drug Administration has now cleared the way for a Florida corporation, Applied Digital Solutions, to market a tiny electronic device called VeriChip that is surgically implanted under the skin of your arm or hand. Don't worry, says the corporation soothingly. Being chipped doesn't hurt you, and it's really for your own good. For example, they say, if you have an accident, your implanted chip could contain vital medical information that could be accessed by an ambulance crew, assuming the crew has bought a handheld chip-reading scanner, which Applied Digital also happens to sell. Besides Coup the corporate hawkers, being chipped is a matter of great personal convenience for you. No longer would you have to carry cumbersome ID cards to get into your workplace. You could have all the required ID stored on your chip, right inside your body. And think of the convenience of not having to fumble with credit cards. Instead, your credit numbers literally are implanted in you. So rather than running your cards through a scanner, a retailer can simply scan you. Talk about consumer progress. VeriChip turns your own body, your very own self, into a barcoded payment system. After all, says Applied Digital, our country has been implanting such devices in millions of cattle and pets, and it has worked beautifully, so why not humans? For you fussy libertarians who see Big Brother looming behind every scientific breakthrough like VeriChip, the company says that being implanted is voluntary, so where's the worry? This is Jim Hightower saying, the worry, of course, is that being chipped will not stay voluntary. Corporations and government will soon insist that their employees, frequent travelers, protesters, and others be tagged for security reasons. To rebel against this effort to turn us into a nation of cattle, call the Electronic Privacy Information Center, 202-488-1140.
The following is brought to you by Pfizer and Viagra Sildenafil Citrate.
So this morning, I'm looking into my shaving mirror, my wife's still in bed, and this guy is staring back at me with a mischievous glint in his eye. He looks familiar. So I say, Wild Thing? Is that you? You're back.
Not all medications are for everyone, so consult with your doctor first. Then ask if Viagra is right for you. To learn more, visit Viagra.com.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's. Know who's really gelling? The King of Queens. Monday through Friday. Check your local listings.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And top of the Friday morning, last day of the year to you, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live on radio stations from California to North Carolina, streaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, beaming around the planet on radiopower.org, cable radio network, and 28 million homes in 29 states. If you want to drop into our live chat room, go to TomHartman.com. And if you'd like to call in, the first hour of our program, Congressman Bernie Sanders is with us. Our number is 1-866. That's toll free, 1-866-889-8894. For our listeners in Grand Rapids, just a heads up to let you know that halfway through the program, at the bottom of the hour, the show will be preempted by a local event. And so if you have a call or question for Congressman Sanders, be sure to get it in early. And to the folks in the chat room who are already asking, I have not seen the mouse this morning. We have a little mouse that lives outside the house. I look at him out the window, and he's usually sitting out there, and he's not. And I do see kitty prints. So we had a Name the Mouse contest yesterday. Maybe his name should be cat food. I'll keep you up to date on that. Anyhow, it's time for our Brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Bernie Sanders, in 1991, became the first independent congressman elected in 40 years to the House of Representatives, since been reelected seven times, the longest-serving independent in the entire 230-some-odd-year history of the House of Representatives. His website, bernie.house.gov, if you'd like to be on the phone with him, our number 1-866-889-8894. Bernie, welcome. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Tom. Thanks for being with me today, me being with you, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, there you go. It's somebody in the chat room said made a comment, or maybe, no, it was Shelby, who runs radiopower.org. The hardest working talk show host in radio and the hardest working member of Congress are going to get together today. So here we are.
Right. Who else would be on the air on the New Year's Eve, right?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In that context, somebody made a comment to me the other day about, you know, why didn't Al Gore fight harder? And I think he actually, Al Gore fought pretty hard. I think he didn't, it wasn't until after the dust settled that he had any real idea how badly they had rigged the vote in Florida. But somebody asked the question, you know, why isn't John Kerry fighting hard? Why aren't the Democrat? Why doesn't the Democratic Party in general stand up against the Republicans? And it just hit me like a bolt of lightning that there are folks like you and I who are really, really very clear about our principles and our values and where we stand on the issues and what we're all about. And there are a number of good people like that in the Democratic Party, but there's an awful lot of people also, and in the Republican Party as well, but I think that there's a lot of ideologues, true believers in the Republican Party. In the Democratic Party, there's a lot of folks who are just trying to get by. And
the word we use is called careerists.
Okay, so
which means is that the goal in life is to get elected. It's a good job, and get your name in the paper and you make some money and so forth and so on, rather than being passionate about trying to fight for change and improve the country.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're quite right. In both parties, there are many careerists, but in the Republican Party, you have some driven people. You and I will agree that, you know, Tom DeLay is a horrendous reactionary, but we'll also have to agree the guy works 24 hours a day, in fact, is a true believer, and will do anything he can to win.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's we need more of those in the Democratic Party.
Right. We sure do. But it's not only what we need in leadership positions. I think most importantly, and I've tried to make this point on this show many times, we need a change in the political culture. We need people to know they have power. And I just want to once more make a point that I've made in the past. In a nation which is politically divided, almost 50-50, why is it that commercial radio is full of right-wing talk show hosts, and why are there so few voices on commercial radio like yours? And what can ordinary people do about it? In community after community, which voted overwhelmingly against Bush, the only thing they're going to hear are right-wing ideologues. Well, what can people do about it? They can contact their radio stations. They can say, hey, wait a minute, you know, we buy products. We listen to your show. We don't want to just hear right-wing points of view. We want to balance out there. People have power. And they've got to learn in a dozen different ways to exercise that power.
Yeah, well said. And with regard to radio, also support the sponsors of the stations that you like. Yeah, and let them know why.
You know, we see time and time again on the networks some programming goes on which offends right wing people. Oh my goodness, they're going to boycott. They're going to do this. They are outraged by it, and yet. On the same level, you see people who are progressive sitting back and saying, oh, nothing I can do about it. Get your voices out there. Let's change the political culture, and let's make 2005 the year that we involve millions of more people in the fight for justice and environmental sanity and moving toward a world of peace. We can do those things.
Yeah.
But we have got to be active in political struggle in our communities, and just stand up and fight back.
Well said. In fact, our quote for the day, Harriet Beecher Stowe, never give up, for that is just the place and time that the tide will turn.
That is exactly right. And I think, you know, you're a historian, and you know this better than I do, but if you look through the pages of American history, and you look through some of those terrible, terrible moments of what this country did to Indians, what we did to African Americans, women not having the right to vote, what we did to immigrants and who came into this country, and people fought back and created a better country.
Yeah,
and
labor.
This is a pivotal moment in American history. We've got to do the same.
Yeah, and it's time for a revival of the labor movement as well. Let's go to the phone lines. We have a call from Grand Rapids, and I know we're going to lose Grand Rapids at the bottom of the hour. So Rick in Grand Rapids is on the line. Rick, welcome. You're live with Congressman Bernie Sanders.
Yes, Happy New Year, Tom and Bernie.
Thank you.
And I think it's a very apropos comment you just made there, Bernie. You know, for people that think when things look darkest, you know, there's no hope, I have three words for them, Boston Red Sox. And you guys know those. Remember how bad
things were? Me and New England know that.
They were trailing 3-0. They got beat 19-8
at
the football score, and all looked lost. So never give up, right?
That's right.
And things change very, very quickly sometimes. That is exactly right, Rick.
What I wanted to ask you, Bernie, was, now this is something that concerns the other body, as you folks in Washington say, but it may very well be that with Mr. Rehnquist in ill health, that Mr. Bush will nominate probably either Scalia or Thomas. And the right-wingers are already going bonkers here by saying that if the Democrats filibuster, for instance, Clarence Thomas, oh, this really shows that the liberals are actually racist. You know, they don't think Condoleezza Rice is qualified. They don't think Clarence Thomas is. Do you think the Democrats, I know you're not a Democrat, Bernie, but do you think the Democrats are going to be cowed by that and say, well, we better confirm Thomas, we better confirm Rice, because otherwise we'll be considered racist?
Well, I think what you're going to see, Rick, is a huge propaganda effort on the part of the Republicans in a dozen different ways to try to cower Democrats into approving not only new chief justices, but reactionary federal judges in general. And they will use every trick in the book. They will charge a racism or religious bigotry or whatever it may be. The reality is that the filibuster exists in order to protect minority rule. And it's a tool that the Republicans have used for many, many years when they were in the minority.
Decades.
And there is really an attack on that right now. And if the Democrats give up on that in saying, wait a minute, we have the right to prevent outrageous appointments, then there is no opposition to anything that Bush or the extreme right wing wins. So it's not just the Supreme Court Chief Justice. It's the whole ability of the Democratic Party to in the Senate to remain strong and say, wait a minute, you're not going to ram anything you want through. We are going to fight back.
Yeah, as James Madison pointed out, the big difference between a republic and a democracy, and his definition, ultimately he ended up calling the United States a democracy, but the conservatives like to point out his earlier, in Federalist Number 10, I believe it was, definition, is that in a republic, the rights of the minorities are defended by law, whereas in a pure democracy, like the old Athenian democracy, the rule of the majority is absolute. And this is your point, Bernie, that the filibuster rule protects the rights of the minority party, at least if they can at least be a 40% minority, so
right,
that they're not absolutely trampled by the majority.
Exactly, and it goes well beyond the Senate and the filibuster. What Tom DeLay and his friends are prepared to do, which is really new, the degree to which they are doing it, is we have the votes, therefore we will change the rules of the game and we will do anything that we want. We will undermine the Constitution because we have the votes on the floor of the House, and we will introduce legislation which says this legislation may not be reviewed by the U.S. Supreme Court. We have the votes to do that in the House. We have the votes to ram through things in the Senate, and we're going to do away with this concept of the filibuster, which protects the minority. We have the right because we are the Speaker of the House, and if at the end of 17 minutes we are behind on a vote, such as the prescription drug Medicare bill, you know what we'll do? We'll leave the voting rolls open for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, until we get the votes. We'll change the rules of the game. So I think one of the areas that we have got to watch very, very carefully and fight back vigorously on is their degree to change the rules of the game. For example, right now, Tom, you may have seen in the papers, there are ethical rules in the House, which the Republicans now, in order to protect Tom DeLay, want to change so that people like Tom DeLay who do things that are allegedly unethical, they will not be removed from positions of
or
power.
Even illegal. Even illegal. I mean, they want to say even if he's indicted for a crime, he can still retain his power as long as he's not convicted.
So Rick's point is a very important point, yeah, but it goes beyond just the appointment of a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. We have got now in the Congress, those of us who are in the minority, have got to fight back vigorously to protect democracy and the rights of all the American people. I have to get a fair shake.
Yeah. This brings me back to the point I make over and over again on this program, that this is, in my opinion, and I may be wrong, but I think not, second only to the Ulysses S. Grant administration, and not even second to them. I think U.S. Grant was the number two. He was his administration was so corrupt that his own Republican Party wouldn't run him for a third term that he wanted because of the railroad bribery scandals. And I think that this Bush administration is the most corrupted morally corrupt and financially corrupt, legally, you know, by any definition of the word corruption, corrupt administration in the history of the United States.
Well, I think all that listeners and all Americans have got to do is take a look at the issues. And when you see a bill being proposed or an initiative from the Bush administration, just ask yourself, Who's going to benefit from this? And in virtually every instance, the beneficiaries are the large multinational corporations, Wall Street, pharmaceutical industry, the health insurance companies, etc. And that's in every single instance.
Well,
those are the beneficiaries. Who's going to suffer from that? Working people, the middle class, seniors, lower income people. You go down the issues. You go whether it's our disastrous trade policy, which is destroying the middle class and shipping corporate America, has sold out the middle class. They're off to China big time, hiring people there at 30 or 50 cents an hour. That is an issue after issue. That's what we're seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders. It's our regular Friday afternoon session, the first hour of our three-hour program, Brunch with Bernie. Congressman Bernie Sanders, bernie.house.gov, his website, 1-866-889-8894, if you'd like to be on the line with Congressman Sanders, 20 minutes after the hour on the Tom Hartman program.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Attention, Tom Hartman listeners. I'm here with Brush Lintball.
This is the old Brusho, Brush Lintball.
To tell you about DemocraticMatch.com. You're listening to Tom Hartman because you're intelligent, progressive, and like the thousands of members at DemocraticMatch.com, you don't drink right-wing Kool-Aid. Right, Brush?
Right-wing wackos are fine to laugh at on all their radio programs, but no one wants to date one, right?
DemocraticMatch.com is a dating site made specifically for Democrats and other progressive individuals who want to date those with similar worldviews. What do you think of Democrats these days, Brush?
Democrats are smarter. Democrats are more evolved. Democrats are more fun. Democrats make better lovers. Democrats have better hearts.
This is your chance to meet other liberals who listen to Tom Hartman, people who cherish the principles of our democracy, believe in a woman's right to choose, believe in protecting our incredible planet. In short, DemocraticMatch.com gives you the opportunity to meet a real soulmate. So what have you got to lose? Sign up today at democraticmatch.com.
This January, it's the return of cable's most talked about show, Growing Up Gotti. It all starts at 9.
Did my ex-husband send you here? Just drive me crazy.
Followed by the new real-life series, Caesars 24-7. An all-access behind-the-scenes pass to Sin City's hottest casino, Caesars Palace.
Sometimes people hook up at the table.
Growing Up Gotti premieres at 9, 8 Central, followed by the new real-life series, Caesars 24-7. This January, only on A&E.
I just won $1 million!
Do you have a child with ADHD who is misunderstood, unhappy, and dissatisfied with school? Are you ready for an educational change and for your child to like school again? Consider The Hunter School, a residential K-8 school specializing in the education of children with ADHD, hunters in a farmer's world. Hunter School appreciates and honors the uniqueness of each student while building upon his inherent strengths and abilities. For more information, find us on the web at hunterschool.org.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-505-1546. That's 800-505-1546. For new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now. 800-505-1546.
Thank you.
is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of auld lang syne?
Auld lang syne. Welcome back. The last day of the year, December 31st, the end of 2004, the beginning of 2005. Hopefully we can make it a much better year, a much better world. We're with Congressman Bernie Sanders. It's our Brunch with Bernie segment, 1-866-889-8894, our toll-free number if you'd like to call in. Bernie, I understand you were on Fox News recently.
I was, Tom. Every once in a while I go on Fox, this time I had an opportunity to talk about an issue that you and I talk about a whole lot, and that is the decline of the American middle class and the growing gap between the rich and the poor, and the disastrous role that our current trade policies with China and NAFTA are playing in losing us good-paying jobs, and the fact that corporate America is moving lock, stock, and barrel out of America, selling our workers out and going over to China and building that country up to become what will clearly be the major economic power in the next 30 or 40 years. Now, this was what was interesting to me. You know, whenever you're on national television, you always get emails or telephone calls coming in, and we got a bunch in from the Fox audience. And 90%, and we had about 35, not a huge number, but 90% of the emails and the phone calls came in from Fox viewers said, right on, you're right.
Wow. And you think of Fox viewers as people who are
overwhelmingly Republican.
Yeah, yeah.
And the point there is, and why it's important to keep banging away at these issues, is that ordinary Americans, whether they're conservative, whether they are progressive, they understand that something tragic is happening in this country, that despite the explosion of technology, that despite the increase in worker productivity, which should be increasing the wealth and the income of ordinary people, just the opposite is taking place. So people are producing more, but they end up with less. They're working longer hours for low wages. And one of the reasons, and I really applaud you and this show for being one of the few shows that talks about this issue, is we have a disastrous trade policy by which corporate America is now able to go to China. I had people there for pennies an hour, people who can't stand up for their rights, have no religious freedom, have no environmental protection, go to jail if they try to form a union. And corporate America is saying, boy, what a good place to do business. So billions and billions of dollars are being invested in China, not only in what is traditional manufacturing, but increasingly information technology.
Right.
You have the founder of Intel, a fellow named Andy Grove, saying China is going to be the information technology leader along with India in the next decade. You have the guy who's a fellow named John Chambers, who is the CEO of Cisco. And he says, and I quote, China will become the IT center of the world. And we can have a healthy discussion about whether that's in 2020 or 2040. And what is his strategy? He's, of course, taking Cisco to become a Chinese company. General Motors is going to move automobile production increasingly to China. What's left in America? And what the Bureau of Labor Statistics tells us is that 7 out of the 10 fastest-growing jobs in the next 10 years are going to be in the service industry, low-wage, minimal benefit. And my point here is you don't have to be a progressive to understand that. Millions of conservatives understand that as well. And we can disagree on other issues, but people should stand together and tell corporate America, stop selling out our country. It's the consumers, it's the workers who have made you the companies that you are. You can't desert this country. And on top of that, these guys add insult to injury. They get billions of dollars in corporate welfare. And that is why, among other things, we're going to be introducing legislation to repeal permanent normal trade relations with China, to do away with corporate welfare for these companies that are deserting American workers.
Yeah, good on you. You know, speaking of this whole thing, a year ago I had Tom Tancredo on the show, the congressman from Colorado, and I asked him if he could name one piece of legislation that had come out of the Republican House or Senate and been signed into law by George Bush in the, at that point, 2.5 years, 3 years, that Bush had been in, that benefited people rather than corporations. He was unable to name it. We have had a contest running for a year and a half now. I will give away a free copy of any one of the 15 books that I've written that are in print to anybody who can name one piece of legislation. Nobody has done it so far. It's incredible. 29 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO. 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Laura Miller. Attorneys suing Walmart on behalf of thousands of female employees are alleging that the company made false assertions in an effort to stop the class action lawsuit. In court filings on Wednesday, the attorneys say the world's largest retailer used a discredited survey that falsely claimed that there was no difference in pay between 90% of their male and female employees. The attorneys say that an analysis of company payroll records shows women on average earned at least 5% less than men across the board. Oral arguments are set to begin early next year.
Workers at 14 hotels in Washington, D.C. are looking to the presidential inauguration to reignite stalled contract negotiations.
The workers there have been working without a contract for more than 3 months.
Amanda Cooper is the press secretary for Unite Here, representing 3,800 hotel workers in Washington, D.C.
The guest experience is completely dependent on the work of our members. And, you know, the administration wants to show their guests a good time. However, it's a challenge for our members to get excited about serving the guests when management showed them so little respect in the form of a really substandard contract.
Cooper says the hotel's offer lacks what she terms respect and dignity issues, like having a Spanish translator present when workers are being disciplined or providing employees with proper safety equipment. Unite Here is ready to disrupt the inauguration if health care and pension issues aren't resolved by late January.
The action is, at this point, undetermined, but it could be really anything that you would usually consider a tactic of a labor struggle like this, up to including a strike and up to and including things, you know, that might be new tactics that we haven't previously seen under these kinds of circumstances.
Indiana University has developed a comprehensive labor organizing software it says will revolutionize how data is managed in union organizing campaigns. The program was developed with help from more than 300 labor organizers. Before the system was developed, union organizers used single sets of data confined to single employers. That limited the ability of organizers to efficiently manage comprehensive campaigns. But with T1, information on multiple employers, workers, locations, and even complete industries can be fully integrated. Indiana University says it's a major tool that will multiply the effectiveness of union organizers.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Black men with the same skills as white men are only half as likely to attain management positions. That's according to a new study by Brush College's School of Public Affairs. Black women, the study says, are only a third as likely to obtain those same management positions. The study finds that the glass ceiling phenomenon, usually associated primarily with women trying to obtain equality in the workplace, has now begun to apply to minorities.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Walk that walk. Talk that talk.
Yeah, that's what we got to do.
Walk that walk.
1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. Congressman Bernie Sanders with us the first hour of our program every Friday. It's our Brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Bernie Sanders, America's independent congressman. 1-866-889-8894. Bernie, let's go to the phones here. We have Mark in Clarksville, Tennessee on the line. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
Happy New Year to Congressman Sanders, too. My question is for Congressman Sanders. Now, we have a congressman who is going to challenge the vote.
This being John Conyers, you mean?
Yes, sir. And I'm wondering, now, he sent letters out to all the Democratic senators. Does Congressman Sanders have any friends that he could get to stand up? I mean, the Black Caucus couldn't do it in 4 years ago. Does he have anyone who could? And the other question I have for him is, I have heard that Rumsfeld made a Freudian slip and talked about the plane that went down on 9/11 in Pennsylvania being shot down. And I have had that in the back of my mind all along, that it actually was not the people in the plane taking over and crashing the plane, and what his thoughts are about that. And I will hang up and listen
okay, great.
To his answers.
Thank you, Mark.
Mark, I'm afraid I don't know more about the 9/11 situation than you do. My assumption is that it was, in fact, the struggle of the people on board that brought it down. In terms of the vote situation, I'm not sure that there will be a senator who will challenge the vote. I think the key state where there has been controversy is the state of Ohio. And the people who I know in Ohio have been outraged by a number of situations where voting lines, for example, were much, much too long because voting machines were not properly allocated in Democratic issues, Democratic areas. But none of them, to my knowledge, believe that that would have resulted in the kind of votes to enable Kerry to have one. So I'm not sure how far that challenge is going to go.
Yeah. So you're pessimistic that a senator will stand up on this?
Yeah, I don't think so. And frankly, I think what we have to conclude, some people may not want to hear this, Bush won the election. And the lesson here is that not only in Ohio, but all over this country, we continue to have a voting process which is totally archaic and totally insane. You have written about, Tom, and talked often about these horrendous touchscreen balloting machines which leave no trace, and that is an outrage. A lot of things that we have got to focus on to make sure that every vote in America is counted.
Yeah.
It is not my view that Kerry ended up winning this election, so I'm not particularly sympathetic about going over that issue again.
Yeah, the problem in my mind over and over again is that there is no evidence that George Bush won. That's not to say he didn't, but there's no evidence that he did because we have privatized the vote.
Well, that's right.
Of all
and
the
that's
things
got to stop, and that's yeah. But that would be true no matter who won.
Yeah.
Given the voting machines that exist right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's an issue that we do have to focus on. And again, in the year 2004, how could it be with all of the technology out there that people in Florida, people in Ohio, people elsewhere were waiting hours and hours to vote? That's insane and totally irresponsible and has to be dealt with.
And how can it be that Diebold says that they don't want to or, the you know, they don't make voting machines that produce receipts, but they make ATMs and Ticketron machines?
Total nonsense. And this whole issue of the so-called intellectual property rights for the functioning of these machines to rest in private hands is totally unacceptable.
Yeah, the software. Okay, 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, Israel in Columbus, Ohio, on the line. Hey, Israel, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to you, Congressman Sanders. I got a question because I do like, Congressman, your opinion and your view, and why you and people like you won't join something like the Democratic Party, take it from within, and run to the highest office in the land.
Well, let's... why I don't join the Democrats?
Yeah, why you won't join and take... because I believe that you easily can lead this country to a better situation or better condition.
You're the kind of guy the Democrats need, Bernie.
Well, yes. Thank you very much, Israel. That's a very kind remark. I think the role that I feel comfortable in playing is one who works with progressive Democrats in Congress and here in my home state of Vermont. I helped form the Progressive Coalition, which now has over 50 progressive members.
This is the Progressive Caucus in Congress.
Progressive Caucus, yeah. Right. I'm sorry. The Progressive Caucus in Congress, which is now chaired by Barbara Lee and Dennis Kucinich. The role that I feel most comfortable playing is kind of standing a little bit outside and raising issues that the Democratic Party often will not raise, and having the freedom to do that, and also having the freedom to kind of go outside of a lot of this partisan nonsense that takes place and talk the issues to working people in the middle class that resonate. So what I have been doing since I have been in elected office, I was mayor of the city of Burlington for 8 years in Vermont, a congressman since 1991. I'm comfortable with the role that I am playing. But I thank Israel very much for his kind thoughts.
Yeah, thank you, Israel, and Happy New Year to you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, Albert in Arizona on the line. Hey, Albert, you're live with Congressman Sanders.
How are you?
Good.
I got a quick suggestion in here. For years and years, for the last 30 years, I've been playing the lotteries in Arizona and Washington State and so on, and I'm sure millions of people have done the same. We picked up our numbers, we give it to the attendant, and they give us our receipt with our pick of the numbers. And if we win, these attendant can run that receipt and tells you how much you won or if you didn't win. Now, in the voting process, if we had a machine that we elect our whatever officials we elect, it will reproduce a piece of paper sort of like a lottery ticket and have a second machine next to it to scan it, just totally independent from the first one, just to verify that vote.
Yes.
And not only you will have the recording of the first one, but the second one as well, which avoids fraud.
Yeah, this is called...
Albert, I think you're absolutely right. That is the kind of approach that should be used to make sure that people's votes, all votes, are in fact counted and verified, are there if necessary for a recount. The technology is there to do it today, and you are absolutely right. That's the direction we've got to go in.
How is it, Bernie, that Congress... Thank you, Israel, for that, or Albert, rather, for that call. How is it that Congress, that the Republicans pushed so hard for the Help America Vote Act in 2002 that allocated $3.8 billion to the states to hand off the largest chunk of those billions of dollars to Diebold, Sequoia, ES&S, companies, ES&S and Diebold in particular, that have a history of, shall we say, conservative connections, that why were the Republicans so aggressive in pushing this end of it, and yet at the same time Rush Holt comes out with his bill and Hillary Clinton introduced a similar one in the Senate that says, well, that's fine if you're going to have the machines, which I object even to the part about, you know, privatizing the software like you said, but here's Rush Holt's bill that says, okay, if you're going to have the machines, at least you have to produce a voter-verified paper ballot, which is what Albert was just talking about, that can then be scanned in the event of a recount, an actual ballot that the voter can look at and say, yes, that's how I voted. Why will Denny Hastert and Bill Frist refuse to bring either of these bills to the House or the Senate floor for even a discussion?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I don't want to get paranoid on that issue because, you know, many states are controlled by Democrats who control these machines in a way. But there's no question that Albert is exactly right, that that is what we need to do, and that's what we've got to fight for. Rush Holt of New Jersey has a very good bill in, which would do, I think, to a significant degree what Albert is talking about. It is of the highest priority. And we've got to move forward on that.
Yeah, one of the big challenges, Bernie, that I have in producing this program, or I should say Louise has in producing this program, is getting conservatives on a debate with me. It's one of my favorite things to do, and increasingly they simply won't come on and talk with us. And we have been looking for a year now for any conservative, be it a politician or just, you know, conservative commentary, to come on and defend the Republican position in the House and Senate of of refusing to go along with Rush Holt's bill, which would simply make a verified ballot. And you would think that the Republicans would think, well, someday the Democrats might be in charge. Mm-hmm.
What I don't want to do here, Tom, is get totally paranoid and tell you every, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm starting to feel that way.
The majority of the people in the Congress want honest elections.
Yeah.
They do. And your question is a very good question.
But what are they saying to you? Because they won't talk to me. I mean, what possible rationale? What do they say when they say we don't support Rush Holt's bill? Why?
The truth is that's not the way it works. There's so many pieces of legislation out there. I mean, I could talk to you about 20 pieces of legislation which will never see the light of day.
Uh-huh.
In the House, we passed by, I think, 70 or 80 votes, a what we call prescription drug reimportation bill, which would lower the cost of medicine in this country by 25% to 50%. In the Senate now, Frist will not give them a vote because the votes are there to defeat that. So there are probably many, many instances, not probably, there are definitely many instances where we have the votes to do some good things, and the leadership says, sorry, that's not going to come up because our special interests don't want it to come up.
Yeah, so maybe it's just the voting machine companies don't want it or something.
I think so. I think probably more that. But it is an issue which is resonating all across America.
Yeah.
And I think the vast majority of the American people, regardless of what their political point of view is, want to know that the person who won the election is the person who got the most votes, and they want to see verification of that.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a major, major issue in the new Congress.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, Bernie, not an hour goes by on this program I don't hear from somebody about it.
I understand.
It
every
is
time
really
I go
hot.
Out, I hear that as well.
It is really hot. On your website at bernie.house.gov, on your website, this article, which really struck me, rumors are swirling in the wake of President Bush's recent visit to Canada and the increasingly critical comments by Canada's health minister about Americans purchasing prescription drugs that followed Bush's visit. Did Bush really convince the Canadians to shut off the prescription drug lifeline to low-income seniors in the U.S.?
Well, here's what's going on there. Here's what's going on. And I've been very active personally on this issue for the last 5 years. Americans pay by far the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs, much higher for the same exact medicine they do in Canada and in Europe. And one of the ways that some of us have thought that we can move through a conservative Congress is to say, look, we import products from all over the world. I'm not a free trader, but many of these guys are. Why not safe FDA-approved prescription drugs? Well, that principle won in the House, very strong vote. We have the votes in the Senate. 4 or 5 states have already moved in that direction. So the millions of Americans are now buying medicine in Canada, some in Europe. Needless to say, the drug companies who contribute very heavily to Bush and the Republican leadership are not happy about that development. So what has happened is the Bush administration has done everything that they can to stop this reimportation legislation in the Congress. At the same time now, they have put enormous pressure on Canada to try to stop the flow as well. And there is some evidence that Bush has been over there making that point to Mr. Martin, who is now the Prime Minister of Canada. And the pharmaceutical industry in Canada is also putting pressure on the government and appears they may be having some success. I just went on the phone just yesterday, as a matter of fact, with some people in the Canadian Parliament to see what we can do to make sure that Americans will be able to continue to buy safe and affordable medicine there.
Remarkable.
But it's the power. What you're looking at now, it's the same old story. It's the power of corporate money, which essentially owns the Bush administration in prescription drugs, in health care, in trade, in you name the issue. And they're tax breaks that go to the very wealthy.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Alice in Humboldt County, California. Alice, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Why do you think the GOP leadership would not make the voting machines verifiable? Why do you think they still won't let it happen? They planned to steal the election, and they did it.
Well, that's the issue that Tom just raised. I don't think it's quite that simple. I can't give you an answer, but what I can tell you is that is at the top of my priorities. I think sometimes in politics it doesn't do us too much good to become paranoid. My guess is that on election day, we may not like it, but the reality is George Bush got more votes than John Kerry. And our job is to go out and organize and do the very hard work to get people involved in the political process, to understand why millions of working people who have no health insurance, who are working longer hours for lower wages, ended up voting for Bush. And I think we should focus.
This is really the larger question. I mean, even if Bush did steal the election, let's just say for a moment that there really was a conspiracy and it did get stolen. Still, even if he stole the election, still there were tens of millions of Americans who voted in favor of him against their own economic interests. We have to reach those people, educate those people. He should have lost by 90%. He should, you know, it shouldn't.
That's right.
It shouldn't have been 50-50.
But you see, I don't want to. I think when we throw that, it's too easy an answer. Oh well, they stole the election. No, yeah. I think Bush ended up on election day with more votes than John Kerry. That's what I believe. And it's just too simple to say, well, you know, they manipulated all the voting machines. I think that's a significant degree of paranoia, because it then begs the issue that you are raising. And it makes it easy for people to say, oh, I don't have to do anything because these guys are going to steal it.
Right. The important thing is that we be educating, organizing, and acting.
And working, yes.
Yeah, and working on an ongoing basis. It's Congressman Bernie Sanders, Brunch with Bernie, on the first hour of the Tom Hartman program every Friday, 10 minutes before the hour.
Bonjour, my name is Véronique Raskin. I founded the Organic Wine Company 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious. When turned into wine, you can really taste the difference with every sip. So our wines are delicious and eco-friendly. So I want to make it easy for you to try them out. Call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE, and I will send you three of my favorite organically grown French wines at half off the regular price. That's just $25 plus shipping. Isn't that magnifique? I think so. If you don't share my enthusiasm, I'll gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me at 1-888-ECO-WINE. ECOWINE. Au revoir.
Do you want to find out what the invasion of Iraq was really about? Read the new illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Once you've read We the People, you'll understand why conservatives are trying to bankrupt government and how perpetual war is used as a political strategy in the United States. You'll learn how our votes are in danger and what we must do about it. You'll discover why the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 matter today. Populist watchdog and national radio commentator Jim Hightower had this to say about We the People.
Not only does this book tell you what's really going on, but it even draws you a picture of it. Read, learn, and act.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. A compelling story of how a government by and for the people has been replaced by corporate domination. Fully illustrated by Neil Cohn, We the People issues a call to action in a most entertaining way. Available in bookstores everywhere.
For thousands of years, millions of people have trusted the healing power of herbs. Healing Hollers, an earth-based business in the southern Ozarks, has formulated medical herbal salves proven effective in promoting healing and providing relief for many skin conditions, including a healing salve with antiseptic and antibacterial properties to treat cuts, burns, scalds, and wounds, an antifungal salve safe and effective for athlete's foot, ringworm, nail, and other fungal infections, and a soothing calendula salve to reduce pain and inflammation from dry skin, eczema, and rashes, including diaper rash. These salves contain only herbs and roots, organically grown or ethically wildcrafted natural oils and beeswax from the Ozarks. To learn more about these salves and other natural products from Healing Hollers, go to www.healing-hollers.com. That's www.healing-hollers.com.
The Clean Air Act is due for an update, according to the author of a new book about air. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. President Kennedy signed the Clean Air Act into law in 1963. Author Joe Sherman says a number of factors made it politically possible to pass a federal law attacking pollution, a subject that until then had been left to the states. Sherman is the author of a new book called Gasp, The Swift and Terrible Beauty of Air. He says air pollution had killed 4,000 people in London over a four-day period in 1952. Then Rachel Carson published Silent Spring, a book that helped spark the modern environmental movement.
Silent Spring, Carson's book, gave Kennedy a lot of boost. It brought air issues into the public agenda. And Kennedy really pushed the first Clean Air Act through. It didn't have a lot of enforcement muscle. It took until 1970 for that to happen.
The act was amended again in 1977 and 1990. But Sherman says problems have arisen over the last 14 years that should prompt another look at the law.
It has not been amended again, but it struggles to kind of deal with the air pollution situation. America keeps making bigger. It has a lot of very good features to it. But it basically is an institutional device, has fallen behind the kind of extent of the pollutants we have. It doesn't deal at all with global warming, which now has become, I call it the big worry in my book. It's particularly indicative of how our institutions have failed to keep up with the realities of pollution.
Sherman says global warming, caused in part by air pollution, could become the biggest force of change humans have ever had to face. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
You gave them the old, stay the course, I'm your man. Why, he'll flip-flop ya. He has no strength to lead. Yes, this you feared. Why, soldiers' jobs and surplus disappeared. Gave them the old, never yet devil speak. Yes, swift boats swindled them. No one could hear the truth above the roar.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with Congressman Bernie Sanders. It's our Brunch with Bernie segment. Spike in Easton, Pennsylvania on the line. Hey, Spike, welcome to the show.
Hey, hello, thank you. Hopefully my signal isn't too messed up here where I am right now. I work on the road for a living. But I would just like to say real quick, the whole reason I got a satellite radio is because of this show when I saw it in C-SPAN leading up to the election, and I'd like to thank you for that.
Thank you.
My question is to Mr. Sanders. You were talking about how prescription drugs are cheaper in Canada and everywhere. I've also bought items like clothing, backpacks from Canada, and I've discovered that, like, let's say it's $70 for a backpack in this country. You could go to a store in Canada and pay $70, but it's their money, which in reality converts to a lot cheaper, you know, same with hats and all that. I was wondering, because I don't really understand economics as well as other things in the world of politics and government. I was just wondering if maybe you could explain that a little bit more.
Okay. Thank you, Scott.
I don't know the answer. We live an hour away from the Canadian border. Some products, in fact, are cheaper. Some, in fact, are more expensive. In terms of prescription drugs, the reason that medicine in Canada is perhaps 50% on average less than it is in the United States in American dollars is because the Canadian government, like every other industrialized country, negotiates with the drug companies and prevents them from charging any price that they want to charge. The United States is the only country in the world where there is no law to prevent the drug companies from doubling the price of the medicine that you use and doubling that for tomorrow.
Right.
We're the only country in the world that allows that.
Okay, very.
So that is why prescription drugs are much cheaper in Canada and in Europe.
And very quickly, we've only got about 30 seconds left here. Scott in San Diego, quick question.
Yeah, it's really fast. How come with the exit polls, no one's paying attention to exit polls where they're really off in counties in Ohio? Exit polls are used in other countries to verify a vote. They're off in those counties where machines were used, and they're all in favor of Bush. Like, this seems like a lot of fraud to me.
Okay. Bernie?
Well, I'm not, you know, I know people who work very hard in the Ohio election, spent months and months and months of their lives. They do not believe that Kerry won the state. That's all that I can say.
So it's just, this is a tough one. It's just a tough one. Thank you, Bernie. Congressman Bernie Sanders, for being with us today.
Thank you. Have a wonderful new year.
Yeah, you too. Have a great new year. And so appreciate your being with us this year and look forward to next year with you as well.
That's mutual. Keep up the great work.
Thanks. You too. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. The real free speech zone. No barbed wire, no admission passes, no RNC permission required.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
If it weren't for In These Times, I'd be a man without a country, says author Kurt Vonnegut. For more than 27 years, the progressive news magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. It is the publication the scholar and activist Cornel West calls the most creative and challenging news magazine of the American left. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Turn to In These Times for stories on civil liberties, the environment, labor, feminism, and much more. Writer Barbara Ehrenreich put it this way, to people who say they are sick of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. That's 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Attorneys suing Walmart on behalf of thousands of female employees are alleging that the company made false assertions in an effort to stop a class action lawsuit. In court filings on Wednesday, the attorneys say the world's largest retailer used a discredited survey that falsely claimed that there was no difference in pay between 90% of their male and female employees. The attorneys say that an analysis of company payroll records shows women, on average, earned at least 5% less than men across the board. Oral arguments are set to begin early next year.
Workers at 14 hotels in Washington, D.C. are looking to the presidential inauguration to reignite stalled contract negotiations.
The workers there have been working without a contract for more than 3 months.
Amanda Cooper is the press secretary for Unite Here, representing 3,800 hotel workers in Washington, D.C.
The guest experience is completely dependent on the work of our members. And, you know, the administration wants to show their guests a good time. However, it's a challenge for our members to get excited about serving the guests when management showed them so little respect in the form of a really substandard contract.
Cooper says the hotel's offer lacks what she terms respect and dignity issues, like having a Spanish translator present when workers are being disciplined or providing employees with proper safety equipment. Unite Here is ready to disrupt the inauguration if health care and pension issues aren't resolved by late January.
The action is at this point undetermined, but it could be really anything that you would usually consider a tactic of a labor struggle like this, up to including a strike and up to and including things, you know, that might be new tactics that we haven't previously seen under these kinds of circumstances.
Indiana University has developed a comprehensive labor organizing software it says will revolutionize how data is managed in union organizing campaigns. The program was developed with help from more than 300 labor organizers. Before the system was developed, union organizers used single sets of data confined to single employers. That limited the ability of organizers to efficiently manage comprehensive campaigns. But with T1, information on multiple employers, workers, locations, and even complete industries can be fully integrated. Indiana University says it's a major tool that will multiply the effectiveness of union organizers.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Black men with the same skills as white men are only half as likely to attain management positions. That's according to a new study by Brush College's School of Public Affairs. Black women, the study says, are only a third as likely to obtain those same management positions. The study finds that the glass ceiling phenomenon, usually associated primarily with women trying to obtain equality in the workplace, has now begun to apply to minorities.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
No, not the yachts.
Darling, wake up. You're having a nightmare.
Oh, it was terrible. Oh. I dreamed we lost our billions, and we were middle class.
There, there.
We were both working, and we could barely pay our bills. The children had to go to public schools. Oh. We had something called an HMO.
Oh, you poor thing.
It seems so real. We couldn't even afford my Botox.
Oh, sweetheart, go back to sleep. I'll write another campaign check tomorrow.
President George W. Bush, keeping alive the American dream for some of us.
Easily paid for by BillionairesForBush.com.
The Hummer. It's not just for driving anymore. Indeed, you can now splash the essence of Hummer all over your body. General Motors, the maker of this massive symbol of automotive macho, has now licensed a new Hummer cologne, calling it the Essence of Adventure, and pricing it as high as $52 for a Hummer-shaped bottle of the stuff. The scent is advertised as being masculine with rugged and adventurous attributes. They go further, promising that this new fragrance embodies all that Hummer is. The Hummer is an absurdly expensive, gas-guzzling, low-performance, high-polluting, gussied-up chunk of automotive junk. What would that smell like? Besides, these days, I see many more women driving these behemoths than men. Forget the masculinity pitch. This thing has turned into a girly car. I suggest they'd do better with a perfume than a cologne. Preferably one with the alluring scent of money. If it's a real man's car you're after, you want the International CXT pickup truck. Weighing 14,500 pounds, reaching 9 feet tall and stretching 21 and a half feet long, you could put a Hummer in the pickup bed of this honker. In fact, this beast will tow 20 tons and has to have air brakes to make it stop. Yet, it's got the luxuries you need, too. Leather seats, wood grain trim, a drop-down DVD player, and whatnot. Speaking of luxury, it gets only 7 miles per gallon, requiring about $130 each time you fill up its 70-gallon diesel tank. Then there's the price tag. Up to $115,000 with all the options. That's pricey, but hey, it's a man's car. As CXT's marketing director says, this is not a soccer mom's vehicle. I can't see the wife picking up groceries with it. This is Jim Hightower saying, in a CXT, you can look down on a Hummer and say, mine's bigger than yours.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
And radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you on the last day of the year. Our mouse is back. We have to come up with a name for this little guy. He's sitting out there chewing on something the way people eat a cob of corn, you know, just back and forth and back and forth. And, of course, with the mouse outside the window, Mr. Higgins came to the inside of the window. Higgins, say hi. Yeah, there you go. Yep. Higgins likes to talk. Come on, thank you, Higgins. Yep. Higgins is a... I don't know how to describe Higgins. Our son, when he was off to college... Oh, there, yes. When our son went off to college, they found this cat that was absolutely nuts. And... who knows, you know, as a kitten, and Higgins rescued him. They were going to take him to the pound and put him to sleep because he was so crazy. Okay, Higgins, calm down. He sees the mouse. And he brought him home to us, And for 6 months, every time he was, you know, we kept him in our bedroom, and every time we opened the door, he would attack us. He would just lunge at us. It took 6 months before this cat would do anything other than attack human beings. Now he's a little more rational, except when he sees mice outside the windows. So anyhow, 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number if you'd like to call in. If you'd like to drop into the chat room, then TomHartmann.com will get you there. Just click live chat. It'll take you right over to it. And let's see, Jerry in Wyoming, you had tried to get into the last hour, and we ran out of time with Bernie there. Hey, Jerry, welcome to the program.
I appreciate your program. I'll try to be very, try to get my point across, but I'm not very good at it. I'll try the best I can. Anyway, I share his congressman's viewpoint about the fact that there are other issues besides the election that caused the loss. I think we didn't do a very good job of articulating our ideas and making our points and so forth. But I do not share his viewpoint about the election. I think it's very naive to, maybe not naive, but I think until this election issue is resolved, I think the majority or a large number of this population will have no confidence in the vote.
Yeah.
And until that happens, I see democracy in this country as being on a flip-flop. I mean, it's
certainly at risk.
There is no confidence. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm 60 years old, and the only reason I'm staying in this country right now is because I've got family here, and this isn't a very good time to move to another country. Now, that isn't a good basis for being a citizen in this country. You know, until this thing gets resolved, where it's absolutely asinine that we can't have an election that is as viable or as accurate as my bank statement.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Jerry. And this is where Bernie and I part company, and he knows this, and you know, we're not going to fight about it on the air. But I believe that we have had several elections that have been stolen. I'm convinced that two years ago, the Georgia election, Max Cleland was stolen. And I'm convinced that there was electronic voting fraud in this election. That's my personal opinion. I don't have a smoking gun evidence. I think that where Bernie is standing, and I don't want to speak for him on this, but and in fact, I would encourage you to contact him if you want to discuss it further with him. He's very accessible. His email address is on his website, which is bernie.house.gov, and you can always call members of Congress, any member of Congress. The phone number for Congress is 202-224-3121. And for him or for your congressman, in Wyoming, wherever you happen to be residing.
Well, I'm from Nebraska, which is one of the sources of the irritation. But
that's the home of BSNS. But the point is that I think that what he's saying, and I don't want to try and put words in his mouth, but what I think a lot of members of Congress say, let's forget about Bernie for just a second, who are scratching their heads but not willing to stick their necks out, is, yes, we have a problem that it has the potential for fraud. Yes, we have Yes, we have a system that where it's absolutely wrong that our votes be handled in secret. Yes, we have a system that could be manipulated, and there has not yet been found the clear smoking gun. We don't have the photograph. We don't have the person standing up giving the testimony with the documentary evidence behind it. And until that comes along, there's a lot of folks, and apparently Bernie's one of them, who are not going to be willing to point that out. And frankly, I think the corollary point that he makes is a really important one, and that is that whether this election was stolen or not, the fact that, let's say Bush actually, you know, stole 6 million votes, and he didn't get a 3 million majority, he got a 3 million minority, he lost by three. Let's just say that for the purpose of discussion. That still means some 40-odd million people voted for him.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
That's the problem.
You know, we have an example, though, in Washington of a state that is now going to have a governor that will be in there under a cloud, even though I think she probably won. Regardless, it would be, you know, that governor is not going to be as efficient as if she would have really outright won. And now, I mean, there are going to be thousands of people out there that won't believe that she won.
Right, and this speaks to the need to organize. Go ahead. You still there, Jerry? Jerry, I think we've lost your cell phone. give me a call back if you want to continue the conversation. But I get your point, and it's a point well made, and I do appreciate it. That there is, with, for example, the state of Washington, you know, there is going to be a bit of a cloud over her. On the other hand, there was over W, you know, over George W when he started his term, and that didn't seem to slow him down or stop him. So, frankly, I don't think this is going to slow her down or stop her. Assuming that the lawsuits don't prevent her from becoming governor, the GOP now is promising lawsuits, which is the ultimate irony, right? Here you've got the Republicans in Washington state saying, we're going to sue. And then when folks like John Conyers or Clint Arnebeck in Ohio says, well, you know, we're going to sue. And then Republicans go, ah, conspiracy nuts, they're all crazy. You can't have it both ways. Right. But we'll see how this shakes out. But what it all points to, fraud, no fraud, voting count voting, you know, what it all points to is that we have to be out there organizing. We have to be more active. We have to be more aggressive. We have to be speaking out more loudly. And we have to bring into office, even if it means folks like you and I, Jerry, running for office. Many of us don't have the luxury of doing that. I don't. You don't. I'm guessing. But I told the story here a while ago about being at the Dean for America meetup in Burlington the first Wednesday of last month of December, or of this month of December. And, you know, there were folks, they were passing around, you know, what office are you going to run for? You know, the dog catcher office is open. The county clerk office is open, though, you know, or whatever it is. I don't remember the details or what they all were. But that we need to get involved. We need to get. Pat Robertson did such a good job back in the 80s getting the people who were involved in the Christian Coalition into local political offices at the ward level, at the precinct level. And that was one of the things that has brought about this great power that the Republican Party has right now. And it came out of a set of core beliefs. And this is why I think, in my opinion, the Democratic Leadership Council and these wishy-washy so-called centrist Democrats, the corporate Democrats, have done so much damage to the Democratic Party, because now you have people running for office, Democrats running for office, who don't have strong beliefs. It would be nice to be a more kinder, gentler nation. Or, yes, maybe we're against the death penalty. I mean, woman's right to choose a good thing. But they're not really burning passionate. They don't really get it, that this country is being stolen by fascists in the classic sense, in the Mussolini sense, those people who believe that the state is best run by corporate power. They just don't get it. And that's why they're not fighting. That's why when the Republicans kick them, they roll over. Because unlike Bernie, they don't have, you know, absolute strong, vigorous beliefs. I mean, Bernie kicks butt and takes names on everything apparently except this voting issue. And he is a co-sponsor with Rush Holt, by the way, of that legislation. But in any case, here on January 20th, Inauguration Day, this from turnyourbackonbush.org. I think this is the most elegant thing that's out there. This is just absolutely wonderful. And I encourage people who are going to Washington, D.C. to consider doing this, because I think this is going to be the only successful form of protest. On January 20th, 2005, we're calling for a new kind of action. They write on turnyourbackonbush.org. The Bush administration has been successful at keeping protesters away from major events in the last few years by closing off areas around events and using questionable legal strategies to outlaw public dissent. We can use these obstacles to develop new tactics. On Inauguration Day, we don't need banners, we don't need signs, we just need people. We're calling on people to attend inauguration as they are, members of the public. Once through security and at the procession, at a given signal, we'll all turn our backs on Bush. A simple, clear, and coherent message. I think it's brilliant. Ed in California is on the line. Hey, Ed, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. Well, you know, I think it's a conservative thing. I don't know how you feel about it. About people moving to Canada, or you got a guy calling up once in a while, Nicaragua or something. You know, the only people that went to Canada after the Revolution weren't patriots. They were the Tories.
They were the Tories, yeah.
And you got to stick it out here. You got to fight them wherever you can find. There's no place in the world that corporations aren't going to take over.
Well, not only that, if we give up on the United States and leave.
We can't.
Then Canada's next.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's like,
so
you know,
is Nicaragua.
Yeah, as goes the United States, so goes the world. It's to a large extent, and that's why it's so important. Armos is back. Excuse me. That's why it's so important that we be here and that we be doing this work and that we be speaking these truths.
What did Churchill say? Never give up.
No, he said, never give up. Never give up. Never
you do
give
than
up.
I do. Yeah. Never.
Three times he said it in a row. That's the, you know, it's a, and this, our quote for the day, Harriet Beecher Stowe, never give up, for that is just the place and time that the tide will turn. And here's another one from Leonardo da Vinci. I think this is marvelous. Obstacles cannot crush me. Every obstacle yields to stern resolve. He who is fixed to a star does not change his mind. And that's it. I mean, you know, if we have to educate people so that they understand the core meaning of democracy in America, what were the liberal and progressive reforms of the New Deal that brought about a middle class in America? Why is a middle class so important to democracy? What is critical about democracy? I don't think the average American understands these things, and we need to be educating them.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Ed. I appreciate it. Tag, you're it. Pass it along, eh? There you go. Okay. Do good. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, 1-8... going to give it all over again. TomHartmann.com, our website, if you want to drop into our chat room. We have a new chat room. We've moved out of the Democratic Forum on CompuServe. Very grateful to them. There's still a message board over there. But just go to TomHartmann.com. If you had a problem getting into the CompuServe chat room, you can get into this one more easily. 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com. Or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Bonjour. My name is Michel, and I founded the Organic Wine Company with my sister 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines yet, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious that when turned into wine, you can really taste the difference. Our wines are delicious and eco-friendly, so I want to make it very easy for you to try them out. Call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE and I will send you three of my favorite organic French wines at half their regular price. That's just $25 plus shipping. C'est magnifique! And if you don't agree, I will gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE, which is ECOWINE. Au revoir.
It's ironic. They're called answering machines, but they never give you answers. Oh, sure, they tell you so-and-so isn't here right now, but you have no idea where they went or when they'll be back. Of course, with GEICO, you won't talk to an answering machine. They have thousands of car insurance specialists standing by, so you always get answers from a real live person. No wondering, no waiting. No irony.
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO. 1-800-947-AUTO.
Hi, this is Tom Hartmann. If you'd like to help bring the Tom Hartmann program to a radio station in your area, please let us know. We have tools to help you make that happen. For more information, go to www.tomhartmann.com and click on the Bring Tom Show to Your Town link on the left side of the page.
Thanks for your help in bringing uncommon sense from the radical middle to your community.
Real novelists don't go to graduate school, they go to prison. Mike Palasek is one of America's newest, most exciting political storytellers. Palasek is a former federal prisoner for peace, county commissioner, city jail prisoner, Iowa Democratic Party candidate for Congress, football co-captain, small-town newspaper reporter, and bakery delivery truck driver. Check out www.iowapeace.com for Mike's books and read his weekly column, Is This Heaven? The View from Iowa. Go to iowapeace.com for ordering information for Twins, Joe Coffey's Revolution, KGB, The Truth, The Last Liberal Outlaw, and Prophets Without Honor. Palasek's books are recommended by Howard Zinn, Danny Schechter, BlueEar.com, The Des Moines Register, and Prisoners Everywhere.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll talk a cup of kindness yet for days above and sun.
Happy New Year. And may next year be one of the best of your life so far, and all the ones beyond even better and better. And may democracy return to America. You know, it will if we get active. If we do nothing, then we got a problem. Here at the Los Angeles Times, Pat Morrison in the LA Times wrote an interesting op-ed. The perfect candidate for Iraq. Who should be president of Iraq? Who should we be supporting to be president of Iraq? Well, Pat suggests that we should send them George Bush. She said, like the Lone Ranger, Bush can make the claim to Americans that his work here is done. He's made his point. The Bush family's second-term curse has been broken. It's all lame duck downhill from here. So why not share his gospel of freedom in person and double down democracy? Here are the reasons, she says, Bush should become president of Iraq. Number one, the United States is already on Bush autopilot. His agenda is safe in the hands of Dick Cheney, who wrote a lot of the playbook anyway, not to mention the ever-wonderful Bill Frist, Denny Hastert, and Tom DeLay. Number two, Karl Rove is getting bored and needs a real challenge, and Iraqi campaigning makes the rhetorical phrase political bloodletting real. That's a good one. Number three, Bush could wear his mission accomplished flight suit all the time. Although I don't know if how they'd go for the socks. Well, that's another discussion. Number four, Iraq is running out of its own politicians. Well, there is, that problem. So we can loan them one of ours. Number five, short campaigns means less time to be caught in tongue-twisting contradictions. The campaign is actually only going to last about a month. Here's another one. Bush can institute his Social Security reforms without carping from elderly voters' lobbies or economists. Iraqis may not live long enough anyway to recover to receive Social Security benefits. It guarantees that the U.S. gets exactly the kind of leadership it wants in Baghdad. That's a good one. As a Texan, he'll fit right into a country that has more guns than cars. Another good reason to make George W. president of Iraq. Here's another one. Iraq has a crying need for someone who knows his all business. You'd have to read that. That's more of a typographic funny. The climate is more like Texas than Washington, D.C. That's a reason why George W. may actually like to be the president of Iraq. Many Iraqi people also speak English with an accent. Another good reason to send George W. over to Iraq, put him in charge. Oh, here's one that will resonate well. Unmarried daughters in Iraq have to live at home and stay out of trouble. That works for the Bush family, apparently. Thanks to the don't join the military, right? Thanks to Saddam Hussein's precedent, there's no problem defying international treaties in Iraq. So, got that. George W. Bush could himself sign the death warrant for Hussein,
the guy who tried to kill my dad. Here's another one. This one may have particular interest to George W. If the Sunnis or the Shiites are elected and acquire power, and they, in some areas they already have, as have the Sunnis up in Fallujah, for example, the first thing they did was they banned alcohol. Well, if there's no alcohol in the country, there's no temptation for George W. to eat pretzels or fall off the wagon or pass out or whatever. There are no term limits right now in Iraq. It's not part of the Constitution. There's no law about term limits, so pretty good shape. And apparently Iraqis have a great affection for faith-based initiatives, or at least the Sunnis and the Shia in the central and southern parts of the country. George W. Bush, maybe the perfect candidate for president of Iraq. What do you think? Is it a possibility? Should we send him? Should we offer him up? I mean, it takes us a little time to get it together with foreign aid to other Muslim parts of the world. But there's a lot of oil in Iraq. We should offer them our best. Offer them George W. Said firmly, tongue-in-cheek, of course. Because then we'd end up with Dick Cheney. That's even worse. 29 minutes past the hour.
This January, it's the return of cable's most talked-about show, Growing Up Gotti. It all starts at 9.
Did my ex-husband send you here to just drive me crazy?
Followed by the new real-life series, Caesars 24/7. An all-access, behind-the-scenes pass to Sin City's hottest casino, Caesars Palace.
Sometimes people hook up at the table.
Growing Up Gotti premieres at 9, 8 Central, followed by the new real-life series, Caesars 24/7. This January, only on A&E.
I just won $1 million! Yes!
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Attorneys suing Walmart on behalf of thousands of female employees are alleging that the company made false assertions in an effort to stop a class action lawsuit. In court filings on Wednesday, the attorneys say the world's largest retailer used a discredited survey that falsely claimed that there was no difference in pay between 90% of their male and female employees. The attorneys say that an analysis of company payroll records shows women on average earned at least 5% less than men across the board. Oral arguments are set to begin early next year.
Workers at 14 hotels in Washington, D.C. are looking to the presidential inauguration to reignite stalled contract negotiations.
The workers there have been working without a contract for more than 3 months.
Amanda Cooper is the press secretary for Unite Here, representing 3,800 hotel workers in Washington, D.C.
The guest experience is completely dependent on the work of our members. And, you know, the administration wants to show their guests a good time. However, it's a challenge for our members to get excited about serving the guests when management showed them so little respect in the form of a really substandard contract.
Cooper says the hotel's offer lacks what she terms respect and dignity issues, like having a Spanish translator present when workers are being disciplined or providing employees with proper safety equipment. Unite Here is ready to disrupt the inauguration if health care and pension issues aren't resolved by late January.
The action is, at this point, undetermined, but it could be really anything that you would usually consider a tactic of a labor struggle like this, up to including a strike and up to and including things, you know, that might be new tactics that we haven't previously seen under these kinds of circumstances.
Indiana University has developed a comprehensive labor organizing software it says will revolutionize how data is managed in union organizing campaigns. The program was developed with help from more than 300 labor organizers. Before the system was developed, union organizers used single sets of data confined to single employers. That limited the ability of organizers to efficiently manage comprehensive campaigns. But with T1, information on multiple employers, workers, locations, and even complete industries can be fully integrated. Indiana University says it's a major tool that will multiply the effectiveness of union organizers.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Black men with the same skills as white men are only half as likely to attain management positions. That's according to a new study by Brush College's School of Public Affairs. Black women, the study says, are only a third as likely to obtain those same management positions. The study finds that the glass ceiling phenomenon, usually associated primarily with women trying to obtain equality in the workplace, has now begun to apply to minorities.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
It's our best of the rest of the news segment. This is actually the first-hand news. Friday afternoon, our second half hour. Get a couple of the folks from the alternative media on, the new media, as some of the cons refer to it. Rob Call is the editor and founder of opednews.com and organizer of the cutting edge meetings on the brain, positive psychology, and the arts, science, and application of story, conferences every year in Palm Springs in February, at which I speak. Hey, Rob, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Good. And what's the website, the best website for people to find out about your conference, the conference coming up in a month and a half?
Brainmeeting.com and storycon.org are the two that cover it.
Okay, great. And the news site, of course, is opednews.com. And Matthew Rothschild, the editor of The Progressive magazine, one of the leading voices for peace and social justice in this country, and a co-sponsor of this program. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom, thanks for having me on.
Oh, I'm great to have you here. Pleased to have you here. I love your magazine and your website as well. Progressive.org is the website, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So what is the on your radar screen, what was the big news this past week? Let's start out with you, Matthew. What did you see? And both the news that was broadly discussed and what do you think was really news that didn't make it beyond the publications like The Progressive or Op-Ed News, but really should have?
I mean, to me, the big story, of course, is this tsunami, and as far as the U.S. government goes, just the paltry response by the Bush administration. I heard today that they're now going to not only double, but 10 times the aid that they had promised first off. So instead of $35 million, they're going to cough up $350 million. But what was Bush doing down at the ranch there that he couldn't be sensitive to the fact that 100,000 people, now upwards of 133,000 people, were dying, and millions are going to be homeless and without food and water and medical care, that it took him so long to come out of his ranch there and make a statement for one and then to loosen the purse strings for two? I think that's going to have a negative effect on the Bush administration's image, at least in the short term.
Yeah, and around the world, certainly. And what was he doing down there for 3 days? He was cutting bush. I mean, figure that one out, right? He was clearing brush, they say. So
yeah, which is just part of his fake macho image of being a little junior Ronald Reagan. I mean, what does he grow on that ranch? Brush? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's an old pig farm, and he has no horses because he's afraid of horses. So why do they call it a ranch? I don't get it. You know, that sounds small of me. I realize. So I'll take the heat for that one. But in any case, it's a okay. Good point, Matthew. Rob Call, an op-ed news. What did you see as the big story for this last week?
Well, this tsunami really just was the massive story and the tragedy and. I just wonder who Bush will blame because he didn't respond appropriately.
Yeah. Well, now, for Rob, Bush now is sending his brother, Jeb, who political wisdom had it back 6 years ago, 7 years ago, back before George W. was you know, brought out of the freezer or out of the Texas governor's office. It was broadly believed that Jeb Bush was going to be the Bush that was going to run for president. In fact, they got him into the neocons, got him into the whole thing about the co-signing this letter with Rumsfeld and Wolfie and all these guys for the Center for the New American Century. No, I've got it wrong.
Project for New American Century.
Yeah, there you go. Project for New American
DNAC.
Century. There you go. Thank you. And that he was going to be the guy, Jeb Bush, and Karl Rove did an end run around Jeb Bush's people, and Jeb ended up not being the guy running for president, even though they were prepositioning him for a number of years, and he was really more the moderate, and he would have been probably closer pursuing the policies of his father.
But now there's discussion that Jeb is going to be the candidate in 2008. And I've even speculated out loud, if it's true that that box that George W. was wearing on his back actually is part of a defibrillator, that he has a heart problem, that we know Dick Cheney has a heart problem, that it, you know, it's conceivable that Cheney's heart problem may come up right after the 2006 elections. He steps down. Jeb Bush gets put in as vice president, and that gives him a launching pad for president. That's pretty far out, but nonetheless, I see this sending Jeb over to the Far East to look at this problem as part of the positioning him as an international statesman, setting him up to run for president in 2008 on the Republican ticket. These guys don't like Hagel and McCain and the other independent Republicans. Matthew, Matthew Rothschild of the Progressive Magazine, what are your thoughts on Jeb's participation?
Well, Tom, actually, I agree that I think it's quite possible, maybe even likely, that Jeb is going to inherit the family business in 4 years, or at least try to, that the Republicans would give it to him. They're not going to give it to McCain. The Bush Republicans hate McCain, and the right-wingers hate him even more. And so it's likely that Jeb is going to be a strong candidate, even though he was issuing denials right before the November election. I did see his dad on TV, who was practically panting at the opportunity that Jeb Bush would become president in 4 years. So I think that's something we got to consider. My question is, for the American people, are they going to really want that kind of a dynasty? Are they going to really sit still for that kind of monarchical rule? And that's a question that I guess the pollsters are going to try to hammer out first, but we as the voters should have some final say on.
Well, we're pushing 16 years of it. We had 12 years of George Herbert Walker Bush, and now we've got 4 years so far of his son, soon to be eight. That'll be 20 years altogether of the Bush dynasty. We reelected Roosevelt four times. Maybe there is an American affection for dynasties, Matthew.
That's the whole Kennedy mystique, or part of it anyway, if you take the sex away, but I think the sex was a bigger part of it. But anyway, with these Bushes, I can't believe that a majority of Americans would want to see one family dominate so much, especially after George is doing such a terrible job. I think it's going to be harder for Jeb to pick up on him, which is the other big story of the week, which is the Iraq War. I mean, maybe the earthquakes, the tidal waves, the tsunamis were good for Bush because it took Iraq off the front pages. But Iraq is a disaster that is not going to go away, no matter how many tens and hundreds of millions of dollars the United States throws at it. So I think that's the one story that is going to last throughout this next year, way past these elections that are coming up. I mean, Bush says they're going to be a turning point. He said everything's going to be a turning point, from the capture of Saddam and the killing of Uday and Qusay to, you know, handing over power that Bremer did in a synthetic way last June, or to capturing Fallujah. I mean, everything's a turning point. The only thing that's going to be a turning point, really, is when the U.S. troops turn around and go home.
Yeah, good point. Matthew Rothschild, editor of the Progressive Magazine. Rob Call, editor and founder of OpEdNews.com. What are your thoughts on Jeb going to the Far East here?
Well, I get nasty emails all the time from right-wingers, and they're constantly threatening that we're looking at 16 years of Bush at a minimum, and maybe more, because who would be there after Jeb? Maybe the daughters?
The daughters?
It's a frightening thought, but
you
talk about you don't believe that a majority would vote. I don't believe that a majority did vote ever for Bush.
Which brings us to the my take, my pick for the biggest story for this last week, that at least the biggest story that was underreported, let's say. Certainly the tsunami was a horrific event, but the hearings in Ohio, the John Conyers finally coming out and saying, in his opinion, I'm obviously wildly paraphrasing here, but essentially, in his opinion, there was enough vote fraud in Ohio that George W. Bush may not have won the state. I mean, he wouldn't be challenging it if it hadn't risen to that level, in my opinion. And he lays out a lot of this stuff very clearly in this letter that he sent to Barbara Boxer day before yesterday, and that is going out to other senators. Matthew Rothschild, where do you see this thing going, though? This whole situation of the possibility that Ohio actually went to Kerry, as the exit polls showed, rather than to Bush, as the machine vote showed.
Well, the real question is there going to be a single U.S. senator who is going to stand up during the Electoral College counting and say, you know, I've got questions about it, too? I mean, we all remember, those of us who saw Fahrenheit 9/11, the image of one African-American representative in the House coming up and essentially begging a white U.S. senator to stand up and join them, and no one did, not even the, you know, sainted Paul Wellstone or the maverick Russ Feingold. So I'm wondering if someone this time would have the courage to stand up and question Ohio. I mean, there are so many shenanigans going on there that it certainly deserves to be looked at, and the whole way that we're conducting our elections needs to be reexamined, and a good way to get that to happen is stand up on the Senate floor.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, my senators here in the People's Republic of Vermont are Pat Leahy and Jim Jeffords. And the number to call Congress is 202-224-3121. And when I get off the air today, I will be calling both their offices and just simply saying in a very nice and polite way to whoever answers the phone that I'm a constituent, I live in the state, these people represent me, and I would appreciate it if one of them would, or both of them, would be willing to stand with John Conyers in rejecting the electoral votes, the electoral slate presented by the state of Ohio. And I think each one of us needs to do the same thing.
I'm embarrassed to say that in my state I have Rick Santorum and Arlen Specter. And Rick Santorum is in the news. He was in Newsweek this past week, and they're talking about how he's the third most powerful Republican senator, and that he's probably going to be one of the – he's being groomed as a presidential candidate. So we're meeting, those of us here in Pennsylvania – who did our job, by the way, and kept Pennsylvania for Kerry. And we're meeting talking about what we can do to make sure that Santorum doesn't come back to haunt us again.
And what can you do, Rob Call of opednews.com?
Well, we're looking at the potential candidates. Joe Huffle ran for senator against Specter, and Specter whooped him. Barbara Hafer is a converted Republican, and we've got a local guy here who I think could be another Paul Wellstone, but he hasn't run. He's been involved in helping other candidates run for office, but he hasn't run on his own, and his name is Chuck Panaccio. He's the only guy I can see I could really get behind and be excited about, because he really could be another Paul Wellstone.
Yeah, Rob, I know.
The fact is we need to make the fight against Santorum a national campaign.
Yeah, interesting. Rob, I know this year was a big year for you politically. You were actually out there going door-to-door canvassing, something that I just have tremendous respect for, getting on the ground and involved.
I live in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, which was big enough so that CNN brought Paula Zahn here. Basically, it was a linchpin county in Pennsylvania that had to be won in order for Kerry to take it. And we did it. We brought it around and turned a lot of people around. There were a lot of Republicans who voted for Kerry and voted against Bush in this state.
Because you guys were going to – I just have to tip my hat to that. Matthew –
on the other hand, you know, you look at Santorum, from the Republican point of view, they want to have a Northeast blue state politician as a potential candidate, either for president or vice president, because he's going to help bring those people along.
Yeah.
So that's another reason it's so important to take him out.
Yeah, politically speaking, yes.
Yes, of course.
Matthew Rothschild of the Progressive, editor of the Progressive magazine, progressive.org. What do you see coming up next week as the stories on the radar screen? What do you see bubbling up right now?
Well, I'm still looking at the Electoral College vote. I'm looking at the Iraq War constantly. And I'm just saying, you know, how Bush is going to act here. I mean, are people really going to go for this big bath that is going to be his inauguration coming up, or is there going to be a huge protest? There's a protest planned in Boston for next week, which I'm interested in seeing, and then there are all the counter-inaugural things that are coming up a couple of weeks down the line. I think we're looking at kind of grassroots, almost insurrection, not violent, but nonviolent, against this administration, and a cultural insurrection, too, that we saw partly during the campaign, and I think it's going to continue until we get these guys out of there.
Yeah, now there's this website, turnyourbackonbush.org, and it's getting a lot of play. A lot of folks are, you know, because Bush has been so successful in keeping out anybody who looks like they may be a protester. People are actually getting haircuts and buying new clothes so that they can look like Republicans. And to going to Washington, D.C. to stand along the parade route, and then as Bush goes by, to turn around and turn their backs on him. Do you think that this thing is going to get traction, Matthew Rothschild?
I do. I think there's going to be more than 100,000 people doing that, and that is a great silent, nonviolent, but very powerful symbol that people do not respect this president as the legitimate president of the United States or his policies as being moral or legal, as they aren't in Iraq, for one.
Yeah, it reminds me of the salt protests of Gandhi's, you know, the British had the salt monopoly and nonviolent protest, essentially, saying, no, we're just going to go about our
life. People are still, you know, people are angry. I mean, a lot of people thought after November 2nd that it was such a devastating blow to liberals and progressives, from people all the way from, you know, Noam Chomsky to Joe Lieberman. Well, maybe Lieberman is not a good example, but everyone else seemed to be thinking that people were going to just go suck their thumbs for a couple of months. That's quite the contrary. People here may have been angry and despondent for about 12 hours or 24 hours, and now people are ready to mobilize against the war. I was at a protest 5 days after November 2nd with 700 people walking down the main street of Madison, Wisconsin. And then, you know, there are people who are going to go by throngs to this inauguration, and I encourage everyone to do that. I also encourage protests locally, because I think they can have even a bigger effect, because then your neighbors and your coworkers and family members will see you and say, why do you feel so strongly that you're going to go out there and risk ridicule? And then you can engage in real politics. That's why I think Rob did a good job by going door-to-door in his community, and I think we need to do more of that as opposed to parachuting people in to go canvassing, which I don't think is as successful. I mean, Karl Rove got right-wingers within the community, within their church groups, to do the work, and we need to do something similar.
That's the hard work. We have about a minute left. Rob Call, what do you see on the horizon?
A real struggle to identify powerful, dynamic leaders among the progressives. We need that desperately. We've got Jesse Jackson in Ohio.
Jesse Jackson Jr.
Guys at the freepress.org, freepress.org. They, Petrakis and company, they're doing a great job in Ohio. But we need real national-level leaders in the progressive movement.
And we need to be promoting them. Thanks so much. Matthew Rothschild, editor of the Progressive magazine, progressive.org. Rob Call, editor, founder of opednews.com. Thank you both so much for being with us today for our Best of the Rest of the News segment. Do appreciate
it. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, gentlemen. Do good and check out these websites, progressive.org and opednews.com. Tom Harbin, 10 minutes before the hour.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555. And mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman program. It's The Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartman Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Attention, Tom Hartman listeners. I'm here with Brush Lintball.
This is the old Brusho, Brush Lintball,
to tell you about DemocraticMatch.com. You're listening to Tom Hartman because you're intelligent, progressive, and like the thousands of members at DemocraticMatch.com, you don't drink right-wing Kool-Aid. Right, Brush?
Right-wing wackos are fine to laugh at on all their radio programs, but no one wants to date one, right?
DemocraticMatch.com is a dating site made specifically for Democrats and other progressive individuals who want to date those with similar worldviews. What do you think of Democrats these days, Brush?
Democrats are smarter. Democrats are more evolved. Democrats are more fun. Democrats make better lovers. Democrats have better hearts.
This is your chance to meet other liberals who listen to Tom Hartman, people who cherish the principles of our democracy, believe in a woman's right to choose, believe in protecting our incredible planet. In short, DemocraticMatch.com gives you the opportunity to meet a real soulmate. So what have you got to lose? Sign up today at DemocraticMatch.com.
Female killer whales spend decades as grandmothers, and biologists wonder why. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Female killer whales tend to outlive their male counterparts by at least 30 years. The males usually die after they've passed their peak reproductive age, but female whales can live up to 50 years after they've stopped having calves. This dramatic gap in life expectancy has scientists wondering if grandmothers have a special function in social groups of killer whales. Linda Jones is a marine mammal expert with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in Seattle. Jones says male killer whales mature around the age of 15 and they die in their 20s. But the females live much longer, and they live long after their prime reproductive years have come to an end.
Females mature at about 13 to 15 years. At about 40 years, they no longer reproduce, but they're females that are over 90 years old, so they can live a very long time in this post-reproductive phase. Why would a society have these post-reproductive females? What do they contribute to the population?
One possible explanation is that these grandmothers help raise the young. Jones says post-reproductive females in other species fill that role, but this has not been studied with killer whales. People don't know for sure why the grandmother whales stick around for so long, but Jones says it's important to figure that out. Some populations of killer whales are declining. She says the old females might provide clues about how pods of killer whales function and survive. That information might help people do a better job of protecting these marine mammals. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. 5 minutes before the hour. It took 14 months in public protests from the victims' families before the president okayed the 9/11 commission. 14 months, public protests. 2 weeks before we had public hearings about Janet Jackson's boob. The woman who dismissed a presidential briefing entitled Bin Laden Determined to Strike in the U.S. as a historical document is going to be the next Secretary of State. A man who finds the Geneva Conventions quaint is going to be the next Attorney General. Greetings on the last day of the year, the 31st of December, 2004. William Irvis Pitt writes in truthout.org about how John Conyers is now going to be officially protesting the vote, going after what certainly looks like vote, in my opinion, what certainly looks like vote fraud in Ohio. And frankly, I see this, in my opinion, we have substantial probability. I so want to use the word evidence, and if statistical information and exit polls are evidence, and they certainly were used as evidence in the Ukraine, then we have evidence, but whatever, of vote fraud in the United States, in several states in the United States, particularly Ohio, Florida, and New Mexico. And John Conyers now coming out and having the courage to say so. And William Rivers Pitts wrote this piece in truthout.org. He said, the senators who shall receive the greatest focus from Conyers on this matter, and if you happen to live in the state of one of these senators, they will respond much more rapidly to pressure from people within their state than from people outside their state. If you live in a state and are represented by any of the following senators, please call their office. The number for Congress, 202-224-3121. Joe Biden, I'll just give you the last names. Biden, Bingaman,
Bingaman, Boxer, Byrd, Clinton, Conrad, Corzine, Dodd, Dorgan, Durbin, Feingold, Harkin, Inouye, Jeffords, Kennedy, Kerry, Lautenberg, Leahy, Levin, Lieberman, Mikulski, Nelson, Nelson of Florida, Jack Reed, Harry Reid, Rockefeller, Sarbanes, Stabenow, Wyden, and Obama. One of those people are is your member of the United States Senate. 202-224-3121. Ask for their office and make your voice heard that you would like them to join in protesting this possible theft of the vote by the Bush administration. Vote fraud in the United States. This needs to be investigated. We need to find out what really happened. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, your light at the end of the tunnel of talk radio.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Attorneys suing Walmart on behalf of thousands of female employees are alleging that the company made false assertions in an effort to stop a class action lawsuit. In court filings on Wednesday, the attorneys say the world's largest retailer used a discredited survey that falsely claimed that there was no difference in pay between 90% of their male and female employees. The attorneys say that an analysis of company payroll records shows women, on average, earned at least 5% less than men across the board. Oral arguments are set to begin early next year.
Workers at 14 hotels in Washington, D.C. are looking to the presidential inauguration to reignite stalled contract negotiations.
The workers there have been working without a contract for more than 3 months.
Amanda Cooper is the press secretary for Unite Here, representing 3,800 hotel workers in Washington, D.C.
The guest experience is completely dependent on the work of our members. And, you know, the administration wants to show their guests a good time. However, it's a challenge for our members to get excited about serving the guests when management showed them so little respect in the form of a really substandard contract.
Cooper says the hotel's offer lacks what she terms respect and dignity issues, like having a Spanish translator present when workers are being disciplined or providing employees with proper safety equipment. Unite Here is ready to disrupt the inauguration if health care and pension issues aren't resolved by late January.
The action is, at this point, undetermined, but it could be really anything that you would usually consider a tactic of a labor struggle like this, up to including a strike and up to and including things, you know, that might be new tactics that we haven't previously seen under these kinds of circumstances.
Indiana University has developed a comprehensive labor organizing software it says will revolutionize how data is managed in union organizing campaigns. The program was developed with help from more than 300 labor organizers. Before the system was developed, union organizers used single sets of data confined to single employers. That limited the ability of organizers to efficiently manage comprehensive campaigns. But with T1, information on multiple employers, workers, locations, and even complete industries can be fully integrated. Indiana University says it's a major tool that will multiply the effectiveness of union organizers.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Black men with the same skills as white men are only half as likely to attain management positions. That's according to a new study by Brush College's School of Public Affairs. Black women, the study says, are only a third as likely to obtain those same management positions. The study finds that the glass ceiling phenomenon, usually associated primarily with women trying to obtain equality in the workplace, has now begun to apply to minorities.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
No, not the yacht.
Darling, wake up. You're having a nightmare.
Oh, it was terrible. Oh. I dreamed we lost our billions, and we were middle class.
There, there.
We were both working, and we could barely pay our bills. The children had to go to public schools. Oh. We had something called an HMO.
Oh, you poor thing.
It seems so real. We couldn't even afford my Botox.
Oh, sweetheart, go back to sleep. I'll write another campaign check tomorrow.
President George W. Bush, keeping alive the American dream. For some of us.
Easily paid for by BillionairesForBush.com.
Have you been chipped yet? You could be soon, for the Food and Drug Administration has now cleared the way for a Florida corporation, Applied Digital Solutions, to market a tiny electronic device called VeriChip that is surgically implanted under the skin of your arm or hand. Don't worry, says the corporation soothingly. Being chipped doesn't hurt you, and it's really for your own good. For example, they say, if you have an accident, your implanted chip could contain vital medical information that could be accessed by an ambulance crew, assuming the crew has bought a handheld chip-reading scanner, which Applied Digital also happens to sell. Besides, coup the corporate hawkers, being chipped is a matter of great personal convenience for you. No longer would you have to carry cumbersome ID cards to get into your workplace. You could have all the required ID stored on your chip, right inside your body. And think of the convenience of not having to fumble with credit cards. Instead, your credit numbers literally are implanted in you. So rather than running your cards through a scanner, a retailer can simply scan you. Talk about consumer progress. VeriChip turns your own body, your very own self, into a barcoded payment system. After all, says Applied Digital, our country has been implanting such devices in millions of cattle and pets, and it has worked beautifully. So why not humans? For you fussy libertarians who see Big Brother looming behind every scientific breakthrough like VeriChip, the company says that being implanted is voluntary. So where's the worry? This is Jim Hightower saying, the worry, of course, is that being chipped will not stay voluntary. Corporations and government will soon insist that their employees, frequent travelers, protesters, and others be tagged for security reasons. To rebel against this effort to turn us into a nation of cattle, call the Electronic Privacy Information Center, 202-488-1140.
The following is brought to you by Pfizer and Viagra Sildenafil Citrate.
So this morning, I'm looking into my shaving mirror, my wife's still in bed, and this guy is staring back at me with a mischievous glint in his eye. He looks familiar. So I say, Wild Thing? Is that you? You're back.
Not all medications are for everyone, so consult with your doctor first. Then ask if Viagra is right for you. To learn more, visit Viagra.com.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's. Know who's really gelling? The King of Queens. Monday through Friday. Check your local listings.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. 7 minutes past the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. TomHartman.com, our website. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Let's talk. It's the last day of the year. You know, people are making New Year's resolutions and this sort of thing. I'd like to go through
My 10 steps to restore democracy to America in the context of resolutions, the way that the things that we really need to be holding up as the values that we represent, as the things that we want to be doing and saying, as the way that we view the world, the progressive view of the world, as it were, and the cracks in the system, the things that need to be broken, that need to be repaired. But before we get to that, first let's take a phone call here. Gary in Richmond, Vermont.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Gary, a fellow Dazen of the People's Republic here. What's up?
That's right. I just wanted to talk a little bit about what Bernie Sanders had to say and about the need for a smoking gun.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a lot of people, even on, quote, our side or whatever, who continue to say that we don't have a smoking gun. And I think, the word smoking gun is kind of a relative term, and I don't think we've clearly defined what a smoking gun is, but if we look at some of the evidence that's already out there, in my opinion, we do have a smoking gun. For example, when Bev Harris went down to Florida to look at the audit logs, and the people gave her fraudulent audit logs, and she went in the garbage and found the real ones, there's one. Yeah. The Triad fiasco in Ohio.
You may or may not know, Gary, I'm the one who publicized that.
Right, I am.
I wrote about that on Common Dreams.
Right, and I just heard you, not to be critical of you, but you
feel free
saying that we don't have a smoking gun.
Yeah.
But, the voting machine allocations in Ohio.
Well, let me just take this to the next step, though, Gary.
Okay.
Here's the problem. I called up Bev last week, and I said, okay, Bev, I ran the story. She had been getting all kinds of flack on Democratic Underground. I said, if you have video, let's put out the video. If you've got transcripts, if you've got statistics, let's put them out. Let's reveal this stuff. And she was not forthcoming with it.
Yeah, that's been unfortunate.
And I know that the reason why she's doing it is the best of reasons. She's trying to put together a strong legal case that's going to nail some people's butts to the wall.
Right.
And you do that in a particular way, and you don't grandstand in the media if you're going to do that. The problem, though, is that Bev is very clear. She's been very clear and right up front from the very beginning that she's not about trying to change elections, that she's not being partisan, that she's not taking the position of Democrats, Republicans, or anybody else, that her goal is an end to black box voting, and
right,
that she wants to prove that it's not only corruptible, but in fact has been corrupted. And so she's taking this very methodical, legalistic approach. And for those of us who would really like to have that bloody shirt to wave in the air and say, see, look at this! That's very frustrating, and there's a lot of people who are very upset with her about that, unfortunately, in my opinion.
Right.
And I haven't joined that chorus of criticizing her, but for being methodical and thoughtful. But I tell you, I also wrote a piece when Kathy Dopp did the initial statistical analysis of Florida. I wrote an article for CommonDreams.org on that, which they put up as a headline story, evidence mounts of vote fraud in Florida.
Right.
And I had the Nation magazine writing an op-ed piece criticizing me for saying that. I had two different writers. Andrew Gumbel, who writes for the Independent in the UK, wrote a piece in the LA something or other, some Los Angeles newspaper, saying that he was the guy who set me straight. I had James Galbraith with The Nation writing a piece in The Nation saying that he was the guy who set me straight. Neither one of these guys were the guy who set me straight, by the way, just for the record. It was actually a guy from Guerrilla News Network TV, GNN TV, whose name is escaping me at the moment, but he actually got a hold of me and he said, there's a factual error in what you published. The factual error was up for 3 hours. We fixed it. There are still, in my opinion, huge statistical anomalies in Florida, and I stand by that. But I had to go out and publish a mea culpa, an apology on Common Dream. I didn't have to, but I did just to make sure that everybody was clear that here are the details. And the problem is that we have the kind of evidence that if we had the kind of organization that the folks in the Ukraine had, we probably could have reversed this election. I really believe that we could have. And I wrote another piece about this for Common Dreams as well. I wrote a piece in which, called How to Take Back a Stolen Election. And you go to TomHartmann.com and click on articles on democracy and you can find it. And I pointed out that in four countries, we the United States, you know, groups associated with the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, Freedom House, which was started by Eleanor Roosevelt, and USAID, which is a little shaky. You know, they've been in bed with the CIA in the past. But in any case, these groups gave money to this group of young people from Serbia who had helped bring down Slobodan Milosevic. And they went into these countries. They went into Georgia. They went into Serbia. Or they started in Serbia. It was the first one. They did it in the Soviet Republic of Georgia. They did it just now in the Ukraine. And they tried to do it also in one other republic. And they failed in that one. And I'm forgetting the name of it. And they went in. And even before the vote was taken, they had come up with a logo. In one case, in the case of the Ukraine, for example, it was a ticking clock. They had made stencils that you could spray paint this logo on street corners and on sidewalks and things and buildings and whatnot. They had come up with a slogan. In the case of the Ukraine, the slogan was "His time is up," which went along with the logo, the ticking clock. They were working. I don't want to say organized with, because they had connections to the NGOs, to the European Organization for Cooperation in Europe, the ones who were actually trying to observe elections in the United States but were prevented from doing so. They had connections to them so that they could get the early poll results. And the minute that the poll results, the exit poll results came in and there was evidence of fraud, these guys sprang into action before the mainstream media, which was wholly controlled. I mean, it wasn't like here in the United States where it's mostly controlled by corporate friends of Bush. In the Ukraine, the media was actually openly controlled and owned by, you know, friends of Putin. I mean, it was the government, you know, controlling the media. Before the mainstream media had a chance to say anything, these guys were out there on the web and having street demonstrations and getting the word out in a way that could not be ignored. We did not do that. The Democratic Party did not do that. We had not anticipated the possibility that there could be this level of fraud, and as I said, we still haven't demonstrated it with the actual smoking gun, but I believe that there's certainly enough evidence that I've said this all along. I believe that there was vote fraud in this election, in the 2002 election. I'll say it again. Max Cleland is the guy who won Georgia, in my opinion. Nobody will ever convince me otherwise. And in the 2000 election, obviously there was vote fraud. It was reported on the front page of the New York Times on the 12th of September 2001. That Al Gore actually won the state of Florida. But the reality is that we have not organized a way of responding to it that can cut through the noise in the media. And that's what we need to do. And rather than sitting around beating up on each other, this is the thing that I think is so tragic. Rather than having the nation writing articles about how I had one statistic wrong, or you know, people in the media saying, well, you know, how dare that congressman say that he's not, you know. Rather than us beating up on each other and engaging in our own internecine warfare, we need to be pointing out the real problems here. And they're really, in my opinion, I think Bernie Sanders was absolutely right in one regard, and that is that there is a larger problem than just the vote fraud. And that's the fact that even if there was no vote fraud, in my opinion, Bush would have lost by only a few million votes.
Right.
And which means that there were millions and millions and millions of people who voted for him because, look at the exit polls, because the majority of them thought that there are Iraqis flying the planes on 9/11. The majority of them thought there were weapons of mass destruction. We've got a hell of a lot of work to do to wake these people up. And sitting around, you know, picking on each other is not going to do it.
Right. Well, my point in calling is specifically in regards to January 6th.
Yes, sir.
And now we are all making efforts to call our senators, and there seems to be some response that there's not enough evidence and they don't have a, quote, smoking gun. I say that I totally agree with you. You know, we haven't done things right up until now, but now we have 1 week to go, and we do have a lot of evidence here and there in Ohio. There's precincts where there was supposed 98% voter turnout.
Yes.
And then people went and canvassed the areas and found
25% of those people didn't show up. I reported
right.
that on this program
so,
yesterday,
I mean,
and the day before.
Let's call these things smoking guns. Let's not say that we don't have a smoking gun. When somebody says, oh, yeah, there's problems, but there's no smoking gun, I think we should be saying, yes, there is.
You make a good point, Gary. You're right.
Okay, that was my point. Thank you very much for all your great work.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You're right. I need to be more forceful about this. I'll cop to that. You're absolutely right. Human rights are for humans. Here, let's, and so what are we going to do about this, right? How are we going to fix this? Number one, what we are seeing in the United States is the rise of fascism. We're seeing it in the privatization of our vote. We're seeing it in the corporatization of our media. We're seeing it right across the, just absolutely right across the board in the takeover of our economy, the loss of middle class jobs, just the whole thing. Human rights are for humans is step one. We need to strip corporate personhood out of the equation. We need to say corporations are not persons. Sorry, they're not. Corporations are not persons. How do we do that? Either update the 14th Amendment to insert natural before the word persons, so corporations can no longer claim the right to lie, the right to hide their crimes, the right to buy politicians and influence elections, the right to force themselves on communities that don't want them. They claim these as rights. This is wrong. This is just absolutely wrong, and it needs to be undone. Teddy Roosevelt was right back in 1907 when he got the first law passed outlawing corporate money in politics. We must get that. We must roll back this whole idea that goes back to 1886 that corporations somehow have powers greater than the government, that they have rights, whereas government does not have rights, that they are persons. I'm sorry, they're not. They are absolutely not. Whether they run voting machine companies or anything else, they're not. Number two, we own our government and our commons. This is another thing that we need to be waking people up about, the fact that our government is us, and it has been stolen, and it is on an ongoing basis it is being stolen by people who believe not in democracy but in aristocracy, in a kleptocracy, this whole so-called conservative notion that there's a we know better than you class, right, and that wealth is some sort of proof of blessing of the blessing of God and the moral rightness and moral rectitude. And no, I'm sorry. We need to say we believe in democracy. We believe in a country that is where the government is owned by we the people and where the commons are held in sacred trust by us, not for the benefit of the oil companies, the gas companies, the campaign donors to the Republican Party. Time to take back our commons. Resolution number two. Call in if you have some of your own as well, or if you want to continue discussing the vote. 20 after the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Attention, Tom Hartman listeners. I'm here with Brush Lintball.
This is the old Brusho, Brush Lintball.
To tell you about DemocraticMatch.com. You're listening to Tom Hartman because you're intelligent, progressive, and like the thousands of members at DemocraticMatch.com, you don't drink right-wing Kool-Aid. Right, Brush?
Right-wing wackos are fine to laugh at on all their radio programs, but no one wants to date one, right?
DemocraticMatch.com is a dating site made specifically for Democrats and other progressive individuals who want to date those with similar worldviews. What do you think of Democrats these days, Brush?
Democrats are smarter. Democrats are more evolved. Democrats are more fun. Democrats make better lovers. Democrats have better hearts.
This is your chance to meet other liberals who listen to Tom Hartman, people who cherish the principles of our democracy, believe in a woman's right to choose, believe in protecting our incredible planet. In short, DemocraticMatch.com gives you the opportunity to meet a real soulmate. So what have you got to lose? Sign up today at democraticmatch.com.
And now for a traffic update, we go to Kelly Clark. Kelly, how's it looking out there?
Well, if you've got to get anywhere, I hope you have lots of time.
Uh-oh.
All northbound lanes at the Taylor Interchange are backed up. Westbound lanes are at a standstill, and the off-ramp near the Martin Building remains closed, causing major headaches.
Not good.
But I do have good news.
What's that, Kelly?
I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Do you have a child with ADHD who is misunderstood, unhappy, and dissatisfied with school? Are you ready for an educational change and for your child to like school again? Consider The Hunter School, a residential K-8 school specializing in the education of children with ADHD, hunters in a farmer's world. Hunter School appreciates and honors the uniqueness of each student while building upon his inherent strengths and abilities. For more information, find us on the web at hunterschool.org.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's
888-242-8272. Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, 24 minutes past the hour. In a democratic republic, boy, you know, there are times when it just, do we still have a democratic republic? I still have hope. I'm sorry, I still have hope. Here I am on the air. Right. Until the last radio station takes me off the air. When stations start censoring this program because of its content, then I'll begin to be concerned. But so far, you know, I know that I've got a couple of program directors who love their right-wing shows that surround mine. And nonetheless, they put this program on the air. God bless them. So I still have hope that people are in this nation willing to broadcast even what they disagree with. Number three, in a democratic republic, government must represent the will of the majority of the citizens while protecting the rights of the minorities. To make American government more democratic, we must join the rest of the world's modern democracies and institute instant runoff voting. I mean, this is a no-brainer. I mean, this is just a no-brainer. It is time to, you know, why don't we join the rest of the democracies of the world and become more democratic? We have a situation right now where if more than two people are involved in a race, or if more than two parties are involved in a race, then a minority candidate is going to end up winning, and that's the least democratic option, and it's just simply not healthy. We'll get back to that. Harriet in Seattle is on the line with an update on what's going on with the Democratic the Democratic and Republican, the gubernatorial race there in Seattle. Hey, Harriet.
Right. Hi, Tom.
What's the
I have a cold.
Okay. Sorry about that. What's the scoop? What's the inside scoop from Seattle, from Washington
State?
Well,
the election was certified yesterday, Secretary of State, and he's saying, as far as he's concerned, it's over. It was 99.99% accurate, but Dino Rossi is going through the roof. And he had a press conference yesterday talking about this big cloud over the election because the margin was so slim. Well, he, as before this last count, he was only winning by 42 votes.
And there was no cloud then, right?
Amazingly, there was absolutely no cloud. And the thing that really upset me is at his press conference, he brought in a father-mother of a kid in Iraq. And the father was all emotional, holding up the picture of his son, a Marine. and saying the ballots arrived late in Iraq, and the kid got it on, I think, November 3rd. So what the kid did, I mean, you know, to me this is illogical. He said, well, I guess mine doesn't count. He tore it up and threw it away rather than resubmitting it. So there's that issue. But the fact is, the father got up there and very emotional, saying, oh, there's thousands of kids just like this in the whole state of Washington who didn't vote. Well, that's wrong for one. And the other issue is...
Harriet, before you go to the other issue, has anybody broken out the military vote that you know of anywhere in the United States or at least
no.
in Washington State?
No, and that's it, Tom. This is true throughout the entire country. It's
this is so strange. I mean, in the past, we've always known what the military vote was. Why are they not telling us?
I don't think they want to.
I agree with you. I suspect that the reason why is because the military vote did not go for George W. Bush.
Right.
And it's a huge embarrassment.
Well, like I say, this ties into the other issue being the misconception that all service people in Iraq are Republicans. And that is not true.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys over there, guys and gals, you know, you're not worried about politics. You're worried about saving your posterior. So, you know, to me, the question would be from this father, excuse me, why is my son even over there?
Yeah.
Rather than bringing him out. I mean, it's the thought that ran through my mind. I mean, I support our service guys over in Iraq 100%. They're just there for the wrong reason at the wrong time. But the thought crossed my mind after watching this. I was surprised that Rossi didn't bring in 911 and Osama bin Forgotten.
Yeah, well, he will. Give him time.
I think so.
He's got a few more days.
Yep, I think he's going to go for a lawsuit, so we'll see what
happens. Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for the update, Harriet. I do appreciate it. And for the great work that you're doing running the Democratic Forum on CompuServe there.
Hey, thanks.
And people can check that out, CompuServe.com. Go to the Forum Center, and they can find under D, Democratic Forum. Harriet, thanks so much. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 29 minutes past the hour.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain, it wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Attorneys suing Walmart on behalf of thousands of female employees are alleging that the company made false assertions in an effort to stop the class action lawsuit. In court filings on Wednesday, the attorneys say the world's largest retailer used a discredited survey that falsely claimed that there was no difference in pay between 90% of their male and female employees. The attorneys say that an analysis of company payroll records shows women, on average, earned at least 5% less than men across the board. Oral arguments are set to begin early next year.
Workers at 14 hotels in Washington, D.C. are looking to the presidential inauguration to reignite stalled contract negotiations.
The workers there have been working without a contract for more than 3 months.
Amanda Cooper is the press secretary for Unite Here, representing 3,800 hotel workers in Washington, D.C.
The guest experience is completely dependent on the work of our members. And, you know, the administration wants to show their guests a good time. However, it's a challenge for our members to get excited about serving the guests when management showed them so little respect in the form of a really substandard contract.
Cooper says the hotel's offer lacks what she terms respect and dignity issues, like having a Spanish translator present when workers are being disciplined or providing employees with proper safety equipment. Unite Here is ready to disrupt the inauguration if health care and pension issues aren't resolved by late January.
The action is, at this point, undetermined, but it could be really anything that you would usually consider a tactic of a labor struggle like this, up to including a strike and up to and including things, you know, that might be new tactics. tactics that we haven't previously seen under these kinds of circumstances.
Indiana University has developed a comprehensive labor organizing software it says will revolutionize how data is managed in union organizing campaigns. The program was designed to single employers. That limited the ability of organizers to efficiently manage comprehensive campaigns. But with T1, information on multiple employers, workers, locations, and even complete industries can be fully integrated. Indiana University says it's a major tool that will multiply the effectiveness of union organizers.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Black men with the same skills as white men are only half as likely to attain management positions. That's according to a new study by Brush College's School of Public Affairs. Black women, the study says, are only a third as likely to obtain those same management positions. The study finds that the glass ceiling phenomenon, usually associated primarily with women trying to obtain equality in the workplace, has now begun to apply to minorities.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Never going back to another bush again, I'll tell you that. 1-866-889-8894, telephone number. Tim in Illinois on the line. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Tom. First of all, I want to say I really appreciate the daily dose of sanity.
Well, thank you.
And I want to add one to your list of plan things that we need to do to take back America and wake people up.
Okay.
It's the importance of the Fourth Estate and what that is. People just don't know, and they don't understand that a responsible free press, and I emphasize responsible.
I would emphasize free, because I would say that corporate consolidation makes the press less free.
Yes, and I'm going to go into that with a comment as well.
Yeah.
That a responsible free press is just as important in a democracy as the three branches of government.
Right.
That's why it's called the Fourth Estate.
There you go.
Now, I'm a career journalist. Now, I'm going to back this up just a little bit. I'm a career journalist, now retired, because about 10 years ago, I became thoroughly disgusted by what I considered a de-evolution in journalism. And by that, I mean the consolidation of news organizations by giant corporations and the resulting emphasis on entertainment and other nonsense rather than real news that people in a democracy need.
Yeah.
That's why I got into journalism. It slipped away in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and now it's by far worse than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, and looking at the history of this, I assume, Tim, that you're familiar with the history of the Hearst era.
Yes.
And yellow journalism. And here we had a situation where William Randolph Hearst owned essentially so much of the American media that he had become a kingmaker, and politicians were terrified of him. He not only had economic power, he had political power, and incredible media power, and that his abuse of that power. And if you've ever been out to San Simeon, to his castle out there,
yes,
read the histories of it, you get a sense of it.
Yes.
His abuse of that power was one of the things that motivated Roosevelt, and well, not just Roosevelt, actually America. That motivated America in the late 20s, early 30s, because some of this began before Roosevelt, because the birth of radio in the 20s, in the teens and the 20s, was what caused the roaring 20s. The RCA Corporation was the Microsoft of its day. Buying radios on time was the first time in history of the United States that people actually started using credit. And, you know, all these things that led to the big bubble, the stock market bubble, came out of that. And we looked at that and said, okay, here's the new media. This new media is over the public airwaves, and maybe we can have an opportunity to rein this in such a way that the abuses that William Randolph Hearst did with the newspapers are not going to be repeated in radio and television. And thus we had the Fairness Doctrine, thus we had local content laws, thus we had the idea that if you are using the public airwaves, you have a responsibility to local community programming, the public service, those kinds of things. And the rationale rationale, of course, was that it's the public airways and we're allocating them. But I would suggest that the founders, if they were around today, would say that because we subsidize newspapers by fourth-class postage rates, and it used to be, I mean, back in the late 1700s, we not only subsidized newspapers with postal rates, but we also subsidized the cost of newsprint, of paper. We actually subsidized that because they believed it was so important that to have an informed electorate, that these laws not only need to be reinstated, but they need to be applied to newspapers as well as to the electronic media.
Absolutely. Now, I wanted to say one more thing that emphasizes, it really underscores why the Fourth Estate is so important. I spent 30 years in journalism, and one of the things that I was always very, very conscious of is every day as a working journalist, what is really important? What is really, really important? You know, I'd go to work, all right, now, what am I going to do on my beat that's really important, and what's crap? You know, what's just not worth dealing with?
Yeah.
And now, so that was my guide. And the bottom line is this. The privatization of our national election system, the opaque, inauditable nature of it, the proprietary claim on software in voting machines, the manipulation of the election process by Ken Blackwell and other partisans, the wholesale voter suppression we saw in Ohio and elsewhere is the biggest scandal in the history of the United States and is the most significant untold story in the history of American journalism. Those are two awfully big statements,
yeah.
But I feel absolutely certain of the truth of those statements. I have total conviction about that.
I have to say, Tim, I absolutely and totally agree with you.
This is the biggest scandal.
And I got to tell
this
you,
is, this
here's
is
the,
far here, beyond everything. No, I don't think anything is important beyond this if we don't solve this problem.
I'm absolutely right there with you. And let me tell you what happens when those of us who are progressives try writing about this in the progressive media. The amount of hate mail that I got as a result of the articles that I wrote on Common Dreams talking about vote fraud from liberals and progressives dramatically outnumbers the amount of hate mail that I get from conservatives on a routine basis as a result of this radio show and the other things that I've written about. And it just boggled my mind to be attacked in the Nation magazine, that's what I'm saying to you. I mean, at least most of it was relatively civil. It wasn't filled with obscenities, but it was what I would call hate mail, or what we used to call white mail back in the old in advertising days. And from the right, I get the death threats. I've had my car shot at. I mean, stuff like that, but. But from the left, and it's like there is this desire, and I have to say, in the first hour of this program when I had Bernie on, I should have, looking back, and hindsight's always 20/20. I should have just said, Bernie, I'm sorry, I just completely disagree with you on this, and I will make that point.
I kept waiting for you to do
that.
Yeah,
and I didn't, because I felt that his point that there's a larger issue here is an important one, but that is that even Which is the point that you're making, which is it's about the media, stupid, that even if there was no vote fraud, still there's all these people out here who voted for George Bush, and that's a big issue. But, nonetheless.
I appreciate what Congressman Sanders was saying about how there's other background issues that are mega issues.
But there is
absolutely,
such, there is
that's
such
absolutely
a, there
true.
Is, there is such
but
a
this
concern.
This is so important. This
yeah,
is so
I agree.
Important that if we don't get this, if we don't get a congressional investigation with subpoena powers, with hearings, with all of this stuff laid out, and really find out what the hell is at the bottom of this, this is just going
to
slip by again.
Yeah, and I can tell you, Tim, what happens when people on the left write about this is that other people on the left who are trying to be respectable, who are trying to be mainstream, come at them. And it's,
well, I don't understand that. I agree with your caller a little bit ago who said, "Hey, the smoking gun is there."
Yeah,
is there.
Oh, I know, and I've been saying it on this program for weeks.
I'll tell you what. Here's something for your people to listen to.
Yeah.
To chew on just a little bit. I was a criminal court. I was in felony court for many years, covering lots of felony trials.
Yeah.
I saw many, many people convicted of murder for on much, much less evidence than we're seeing here in Ohio.
Oh, sure.
Many, many times.
And George Bush pulled the switch on a lot.
Most convictions, as a matter of fact, are on circumstantial evidence.
Yeah, and George W. Bush probably put a lot of them to death in Texas on flimsier evidence than that. And that was, you know, the one point that I made with Bernie was I said, you know, Bernie, there's no evidence that George Bush actually won.
Well, yeah, I heard that. What I don't understand about him, here's a guy who's, and I'm not trying to tear apart somebody on the progressive community. I just don't understand sometimes. He's so passionate about all these other things that are so important, and yet he's just somehow he's just completely missing the boat on this one. If we don't get this one resolved, boy, you're going to see a whole lot of people start to look at Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean a lot of people, because yeah. I'm, you know, somebody in the Senate has to grow a spine. That's first.
Yeah.
Now, for one thing,
have you contacted your senator, by the way?
We've been phoning all these senators. We've been phoning senators for 2 weeks.
Yeah, Barack Obama is one of your senators.
Take back your, you stole my vote rally in our home state in Illinois, and very little participation there. It was very, very, very discouraging. But, you know, that we were still inspired by the rally because the people who did come were wonderful, impassioned people.
Yeah.
And we have been making lots and lots of phone calls to talk to senators to try to prod them to grow a spine and stand up for the integrity of our voting system. But incredibly enough, as you talk to their aides, you get things like you get this dialogue going where they'll say, "Well, what do you mean there's a privatized voting system?"
Yeah.
No, they're
Tim,
clueless.
Tim, your senator is Barack Obama, is one of your senators.
Yes.
What kind of feedback, and I'm not sure who your other senator is in Illinois, who would that be?
Durbin.
I was thinking of it, yeah. So have you contacted their offices? What kind of feedback have you gotten?
Typically, I haven't been able to get to Obama. He hasn't been there when I've called. But in Durbin's office, it's just a closed door. You just say, "Nah, we got to move on now."
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I'm so outraged by this. Yeah,
I'm not giving up. You know, my wife and I are headed to the January 3 protest rally in Columbus with Jesse Jackson.
Yeah,
and we'd like to go right on to the thing in January 6th in front of the Senate.
Yeah,
in Washington D.C. I don't think we're going to be able to do that. But you know, you just wonder what in the world is it going to take for people to wake up when we can't even have our senators with any backbone at all.
Yeah.
It's very tough, and I listen every day to progressive radio. I listen to you. I listen to other. I'm doing everything I can to continue to be inspired because I don't want to give up.
Well, we can't.
We don't want to give up.
We can't. We just absolutely can't. I mean, the despair or concern or whatever that we may be feeling at this point. I mean, this is nothing new. Number one, and it's also nothing new in the context of elections. I mean, Richard Nixon, in the Nixon-Kennedy election in 1960, was convinced, it went to his grave convinced, and may well have been right, that Daley stole the election for Kennedy. And you know, with rigged voting machines in Chicago. This is, I would say, the flip side of that was that Nixon had rigged voting machines in Florida. He had the Trafficante bunch down there working on his behalf. But in any case, whether he knew that or not, I don't know.
To recap the importance of a responsible, free press in the United States cannot be emphasized too much. Because you have to have a responsible news media to tell people what's going on in a democracy.
Right, and where that is right now, where that media is right now, Tim, it's on the internet, and it is listener supported.
We're like the pamphleteers of colonial America, for crying out loud.
We are the pamphleteers, and it is listener supported or user supported. Listener supported in the case of radio, user supported in the case of websites like CommonDreams.org and BuzzFlash and on. You know, the folks we had on today, the Progressive.org, Rob Call from OpEdNews.com, and we need to be doing everything we can to support that, but we also need to be being outspoken with our elected officials.
Well, yeah, and another thing that inspires me a little bit, at least, is I think that there might be at least 60 million people out there who think or are thinking the same things I am. They're just not involved.
Yeah.
I know the voter tallies showed a little bit lower number than that, but I don't believe those tallies.
Well, by believing what I'm believing, what do you mean? I mean, 20%.
I think there's possible 60 million people might have voted for John Kerry.
Yeah. Oh, I, you know, there's...
Or put another way, voted to get rid of George Bush and the neocons.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not disagreeing with you there. The larger point, in fact, or not a larger point, but another point is that the last poll that I saw showed that 20% of Americans didn't believe that this election was fair, and or that the election was stolen. 20% of Americans, that's a lot of people. I mean, you know, we're talking, there's nearly 60 million people right there, isn't it? If I'm doing my math right, we need to be getting the word out better.
Well, it's another thing that people might want to consider, and it's something that you've mentioned before, and I think it's exceptionally important because it is some good journalism, and it is not from the American press. It's Adam Curtis's documentary for BBC, The Power of Nightmares. That thing.
Yeah.
Will wake you up.
Yeah, did
that
you see
thing
the,
will make you understand.
Did you see the piece I did on that?
Yes, I did, and I've watched the documentary a couple of times, and the thing that's bad about it is that the audio is terrible.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is get yourself a transcript of that thing, and then put that transcript up as a window.
Well, let me tell you, Tim, there are broadcast quality 600 meg files that are floating around the internet right now. And I've had several people send me, you know, information on how to find them and say, please don't publicize this because I don't have the bandwidth for it. But if you know how to use Usenet or how to search Usenet with Google, you can find for download each one of the segments is 600 megs in MP3 format or in BitTorrent format. And
right.
And you can download these things and you can play it on a computer, or if you have a TV monitor that you can hook up to a computer, you can just drive it right into a TV. And there are people now around the United States, there are these little clandestine parties, basically, or groups that are having, you know, well, let's watch a movie parties. And it started, frankly, back with Outfoxed and with Unprecedented, Robert Greenwald's first movie about the theft of the 2000 election,
yeah.
Where people are getting together every month in their homes and they're inviting folks over. And this is this is about the rise of the neocons, the lies that were told by Don Rumsfeld back during the Nixon administration and during the Reagan administration, rather. And on and on it goes. I mean,
it's just a remarkable piece.
It really is.
It's some of the best journalism I've seen ever.
And it is
an amazing piece.
And it's a tragedy that it's not more widely available in the United States. And which brings us back to the press. I mean, that thing was on BBC. It was on BBC attacking the neocons and Tony Blair. And
that's
even
right.
Here in the United States, we've got NPR doesn't have the ability to do that. So anyhow, we got to go. We're out of time. Tim,
great
thanks for the call. It was good talking to you, too. I appreciate
okay.
it. Thanks for listening and keeping the faith. We've got to spread the good word here. 10 minutes before the hour on the Tom Hartman radio program.
Bonjour. My name is Véronique Raskin. I founded the Organic Wine Company 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious. When turned into wine, you can really taste the difference with every sip. So our wines are delicious and eco-friendly. So I want to make it easy for you to try them out. Call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE, and I will send you 3 of my favorite organically grown French wines at half off the regular price. That's just $25 plus shipping. Isn't that magnifique? I think so. If you don't share my enthusiasm, I'll gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me at 1-888-ECO-WINE. ECOWINE. Au revoir.
Real novelists don't go to graduate school, they go to prison. Mike Palasek is one of America's newest, most exciting political storytellers. Palasek is a former federal prisoner for peace, county commissioner, city jail prisoner, Iowa Democratic Party candidate for Congress, football co-captain, small-town newspaper reporter, and bakery delivery truck driver. Check out www.iowapeace.com for Mike's books and read his weekly column, Is This Heaven? The View from Iowa. Go to iowapeace.com for ordering information for Twins, Joe Coffey's Revolution, KGB, The Truth, The Last Liberal Outlaw, and Prophets Without Honor. Palasek's books are recommended by Howard Zinn, Danny Schechter, BlueEar.com, The Des Moines Register, and Prisoners Everywhere.
For thousands of years, millions of people have trusted the healing power of herbs. Healing Hollers, an earth-based business in the southern Ozarks, has formulated medical herbal salves proven effective in promoting healing and providing relief for many skin conditions, including a healing salve with antiseptic and antibacterial properties to treat cuts, burns, scalds, and wounds, an antifungal salve safe and effective for athlete's foot, ringworm, nail, and other fungal infections, and a soothing calendula salve to reduce pain and inflammation from dry skin, eczema, and rashes, including diaper rash. These salves contain only herbs and roots organically grown or ethically wildcrafted natural oils and beeswax from the Ozarks. To learn more about these salves and other natural products from Healing Hollers, go to www.healing-hollers.com. That's www.healing-hollers.com.
The Clean Air Act is due for an update, according to the author of a new book about air. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. President Kennedy signed the Clean Air Act into law in 1963. Author Joe Sherman says a number of factors made it politically possible to pass a federal law attacking pollution, a subject that until then had been left to the states. Sherman is the author of a new book called GASP, The Swift and Terrible Beauty of Air. He says air pollution had killed 4,000 people in London over a four-day period in 1952. Then Rachel Carson published Silent Spring, a book that helped spark the modern environmental movement.
Silent Spring, Carson's book, gave Kennedy a lot of boost. It brought air issues into the public agenda. And Kennedy really pushed the first Clean Air Act through. It didn't have a lot of enforcement muscle. It took until 1970 for that to happen.
The act was amended again in 1977 and 1990. But Sherman says problems have arisen over the last 14 years that should prompt another look at the law.
It has not been amended again, but it struggles to kind of deal with the air pollution situation. America keeps making bigger. It has a lot of very good features to it. But it basically is an institutional device, has fallen behind the kind of extent of the pollutants we have. It doesn't deal at all with global warming, which now has become, I call it the big worry in my book. It's particularly indicative of how our institutions have failed to keep up with the realities of pollution.
Sherman says global warming, caused in part by air pollution, could become the biggest force of change humans have ever had to face. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
The Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should
and welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you the last day of the year, December 31st, New Year's Eve. Hope you have a wonderful New Year's Eve and a great year coming up. To those listening to our web stream on Cable Radio Network Channel 4, I want to say greetings and thanks to the folks at CRN4 for keeping us up. Turns out I understand that Shelby, who runs RadioPower.org, cut us off her web stream when I didn't disagree with Bernie Sanders. She apparently disagreed with that and decided to take an editorial decision and pull the program off the network. I still support RadioPower.org. I still encourage you to donate money to RadioPower.org. It's an important voice for all of us. But also, I think it's unfortunate that anybody is censoring anybody, frankly, left or right. Here we have a letter from the Congress of the United States, over the letterhead of the Congress of the United States, from Congressman John Conyers. This... Now, to the folks at Triad Systems. It appears that officials in Fulton and Henry counties have confirmed the Triad had remote access to tabulating computers controlled by the boards of elections. Officials stated that your company did not come into the boards of elections to adjust the tabulation software because it could be and had been done remotely. I would like to know, John Conyers asks, which Ohio counties can you access remotely? Which counties did you access remotely? What changes did you make to software or ballots? As discussed in yesterday's letters, did you use your remote access to inquire how voting machines could be counted in order to instruct the board on how to manipulate the 3% hand count? Now, this is getting really messy in Ohio. It's the evidence of fraud is becoming absolutely overwhelming. Here in Bellevue, Washington, as Harriet just reported, we have that situation. Moyer, the Ohio Chief Justice, says he will not recuse himself from the election challenge. Chief Justice Thomas Moyer of the Ohio Supreme Court, this in yesterday's paper in the Cincinnati Inquirer, refused Wednesday to remove himself from a case challenging the results of the presidential election. Moyer also rejected a request by voters challenging the results for a speedy hearing and an order that elections boards preserve evidence from the election. Moyer said there's no reason for him to remove himself since the challenge doesn't involve his own election. Oh, gee, that's very sweet. Cliff Arnebeck, who we had on this program earlier in the week, and others are charging fraud in Ohio. And I think there's a good chance if they can get to court that they will be able to demonstrate it. New Mexico recount is going back to court. David Cobb pushing that one. And on it goes. Thanks to you, our listeners, for this year. Hope to see you next year. Next Monday, we'll be back. Thanks to Louise for producing our program today. To Ira Gravatt for engineering it. To Brad Walrod for our music. To Ben Birch for keeping us up on radiopower.org. To the folks in our chat room for showing up. See you all on Monday. Happy weekend.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
And Happy New Year.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartman Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results.